What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Vivid Seats. You know, whether it's a sporting event, a concert, or a race, there is no substitute for being there in person to see, feel, hear the action. You know what that's about, right? And so that's why Vivid Seats is here for you. Vivid Seats is an online ticket event marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, not just like later on Instagram. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, races, theaters, and more. They offer great prices and an easy purchasing experience. They are where you can search by price, you can search by row, section. They make it easy to get the best tickets you want at the best price. And now, with the podcast code TIRE, that's T-I-R-E, TIRE, Smoking Tire listeners can get 10% off your first purchase with Vivid Seats. And from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code TIRE for 10% off your first purchase with Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime by being there in person, and let Vivid Seats help you get there. We are also brought to you by Continental Belts and Hoses. Working on cars sucks. So what you don't want is any surprises. And here's the surprise. You open your hood, you're working on something. Oh man, your belts and your hoses are all cracked and dry rotted. Here's where you need Continental Belts. I bet you didn't know they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also OE on the majority of BMWs and Volkswagens. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series, belts that are phonetically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE technology series multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. Hey, you get enough surprises working on cars and trucks, a belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit OETechnologyseries.com. That's OETechnologyseries.com. Lastly, I don't plug our merch store very often, but if you go to thesmokingtire.com and click the store button at the top of the page, I just came out with a new shirt. It's the last of the Fox Body shirts, the Quick Like a Fox shirt. A fan designed this logo, the icon for us, or the graphic on the shirt. I think it's rad. I think it's one of the coolest shirts we've ever made, and I ordered two for myself, actually. The Fox Body is going on Bring a Trailer this week, October 15th. And it will sell on October 22nd at a no-reserve auction with 50% of the total gross proceeds going to charity. So check that out if you're catching this podcast in time. October 15th to 22nd, 2018. And otherwise, go to thesmokingtire.com, click store, and check out the Quick Like a Fox Fox Body Tribute shirt. On this episode of the podcast, Kurt Bradley is in studio. He is a writer for Jalopnik, and man, I have to say, the level of vehicles that he has been driving this summer really make me jealous. He's in studio. He was just driving Koenigsegg Agera RS. He's been out in the Gunther Works, which I went in. He even rolled up to the studio in a GT3 Touring. Dude's been all over the place. It's a good show. We have a great chat. Kurt Bradley from Jalopnik on the Smoking Tire Podcast. Smoking Tire Podcast, hello. What's up, everybody? Smoking Tire Podcast on a Tuesday.
Word.
Mm-hmm. It's a fine day. Kurt Bradley in the house from Jalopnik.com, thejalopnik.com. Univision.
Yep.
Bienvenidos. Univision.
Yeah.
It's still Univision, right?
Yeah, for the time being. Well, yeah.
Who's gonna buy it next?
Who knows?
Who just bought...
Peter Thiel might try to buy us back. I don't know.
Who bought Time? Who do I fucking work for now? Who bought Time? Somebody bought Time.
I don't know. Probably. Man, I'm losing my mind.
Can you Google who just...
Was it another billionaire wanting to buy a media company?
Timmy's back in the building.
Back in the building.
Where'd you go, Timmy? Camping in Oregon?
I went to Olympic National Park and Forest. Nice. Olympic Peninsula, top of Washington.
It looked dope.
It was gangster.
Looked very dope.
We did the off-roading. We did the camping.
Yes. You were gone for a minute, and I learned how easy your job is. I'm just kidding.
It's very hard. It's very big.
It's fucking not a hard job.
I can't remember.
That's how hard your job is. Who owns fucking Time Incorporated right now? It's not that your job is hard, but it helps to fucking have you doing it instead of me. It's hard to do when you fucking are trying to also host a show. Oh, Meredith. Parent Corporation is the Meredith Company. That's it. Which means fucking nothing to me.
All right.
I don't know. Backed. Does that say
2.8 billion?
Oh my God. Does that say right there backed by Coke Equity?
Yeah.
Fuck.
You need to quit your job, bro.
Fuck.
Or just start voting Trump. Go Trump.
Fuck. MAGA. Fucking MAGA. What's happening, Kurt?
Not much, man.
Rolling up in that GT3 Touring.
That car's pretty good.
Yeah, I had a go in one, I don't know, a month ago. It's the tits. Very nice.
Yeah.
Is it a good city car?
You know, I've only driven it for, what, a day and a half now?
Well, I didn't drive it in the city at all. Look at the color you got. That fucking press car color is rad.
That's good.
Although, Spikenstein had the chalk, which I like
you
also.
You know, if I were to own one, chalk would probably be the color I'd pick.
Well, chalk, you know, according to Spikenstein, you want to get the most enthusiast version of the car in the launch color. That's your investment play. Although I could fucking totally make an argument for that blue scheme.
Yeah, that was at sunrise this morning. I took it up there, and it looked great. You do sunrise at ACH in a car of that color.
Oh, it's the best. Mm. I will only go up in the mountains now, like fucking 6 a.m. Yeah. You know what I mean? If I go to film, I'm up there at 6, and I'm off the mountain at 9.
Yeah, I mean, I think it came back down. I went all the way to Wrightwood.
Oh, you did?
And just
did they clean some of the rocks off the road?
Yeah, there was still a little bit here and there. Nothing like, bad, but nothing. No softball sized shit.
After Newcomb's, it gets noticeably less cared for.
Yeah, and just for like a good 2-3 miles, a little bit today. But after that, I mean, I went the whole route there and back, and only had to dodge a couple times.
Yeah, no, it's like not horrible, but especially if you go like after it rains or something, the trucks just don't. You know.
Oh yeah, and they were out there today, and they weren't doing shit. They literally had the little runners.
Yeah, they
floating
chill
up the whole time. They were just driving.
You
want
to talk about a fucking chill ass gig? Right, it's got to be one of those. For those who aren't from here, which is probably most people, on Angeles Crest Highway and the other roads in the forest, they literally have it. Snowplows, and they use snowplows to get the rocks off the road. And the snowplows have these little like rollers on the bottom of them, so they don't like destroy the entire road.
Yeah,
but after a certain point up the road, which is, I don't know, 30-something miles. How far is Newcomb's up there? 28 miles?
It's 66 across, and I think Newcomb's is right in the middle.
I think it's like 27, 28.
Yeah. The tunnels are right in the middle.
Yeah, beyond that, they kind of stop giving a shit.
Yeah, I mean, when I was out there on the way out, I saw a couple of them on the way back. Oh, my God, I stuck behind a bunch of Harleys on the way back.
Oh, boy. That's when you just pull off to the side and fucking chill for a minute. Yeah,
stretch, drink
some
water.
It probably was. You know, they do those Eagle Rider tours.
Yep.
You know those things where they rent? It's like, you know, a biker gang from France comes over and rents a bunch of road kings.
And the worst is that they're not just these biker gangs that don't know how to ride around out here. They've got these support vans. They've got these
radio vans.
Yeah, and they're all cruising along, clogging up the road
as well. The luggage truck.
No concept how a turnout works.
Yeah, well, when there's a huge group, you know, they're much more concerned with keeping the group together than they are with letting you have a good time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's, luckily, I got to a spot where you can just park for a second and chill. Yeah. And
there's plenty of those. I mean, I have to do that shit all the time in my videos. But fortunately, that's, you know, I think especially if you go really early in the morning, I find road etiquette is pretty decent.
Yep.
You know, this time of year has been really good up there. There's been some really beautiful fog rolling across the mountains, and it's been fucking nice.
Yeah, when I go to the usual checkpoint, you know, where everybody wants to stop and do your burnouts and pictures and stuff up
there. Oh, the European car? You call that European car corner because it's where they shot every European car magazine cover in fucking history.
I just chilled up there until the sun came up, and as soon as it did, as soon as it started creeping above the clouds, started drawing some cool shadow shots. And
yeah.
It worked out.
There's the new one I like to use. I mean, it's not fucking new at all. Is about 7-8 miles further up, and similar thing. It doesn't have the long view that you get there, but it's just as big, and the light hits it at just the right angle.
You're talking about the spot right where the there's a bathroom up there, and like where the bear trap trash cans are, where the, there's a little turnout. It's right after the tunnels. There's a spot I like going up there too.
No, right, it's as big as the European car corner. Oh, yeah. Maybe even bigger.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's on a similar kind of bend. Yep. Yeah, it's lovely. And that's a good place to
and
be.
And not nearly as much rubber laid down on it.
No.
Yet.
And there's a really good section right before that that's a great S section.
Yeah.
Wait, do we want to... I don't even want to fuck with Google Maps right now. I'm not
going to... We're going to start picking out all these little spots where I've done stupid shit on there. Like, Tahunga is really, really getting in trouble.
I finally went up... I took my Focus RS up there. I hadn't been up there because I got... 1552 hooked up a set of wheels.
Nice.
For me, they're minus ones, so they're 18s instead of the 19s.
Because that's probably better. You probably put a little better sidewall on it.
Way better, dude.
Yeah,
the
way
last
ride on it
so
too.
The last update was I got these adaptive coilovers from KW. They're like fucking $4,000. I didn't pay anything for them, but the last year and a half has been like fix the car's shitty ride.
Yeah,
and because the ride on the RS was so terrible, so adaptive coilovers. Way better, nice. Way better, but still, all the cracks in the road and shit have these hard edges on them that was just brutal. Okay. Minus ones, the 1552s, the Integrales. Scroll down a little more. There it is. Of course, you got to have the fucking Rolex Explorer in the shot, too. But the Delta Integrale style wheels in an 18. And, dude.
Good with that white on blue.
It really does work, right? I was a little skeptical at first. They were like, we're going to give you white. I was like, I don't know if I can pull that off. But yeah. It looks rad. And if you keep going, there's another photo of it eventually. But, dude, the 18s, no loss of grip, way better ride quality. I'm running P0s, nice. Which I am not, I don't have a lot of long-term experience on P0s, but so far, so good.
Is it like a 245-45 then instead?
Because
it's like a 35
it's
on
a
the
40,
19,
it's
it?
A 45. It's the same width. I don't remember. Yeah. 45. It's a 245 or 255. I don't remember. But then Randy at Mountune wrote me a 100-octane tune.
Oh, nice.
I fucking love 100-octane. Because there's no hardware change. No
How easy do you find it around here, though?
There's only two places, really, that you can buy it. One of them is... not near my house, but it's right next door to my shrink.
Oh, yeah.
So
how convenient.
Once a week I can
just top it off.
But I don't drive the Focus that often, right. So a tank 100-octane will last me like a month.
Well, that's fine then.
So I don't give a fuck. But right. I went up there with this 100-octane tune. So it's what's the low reading dyno? Mustang? Which one reads low?
I think it's the... I think it's a Mustang, yeah.
Whichever of the two reads low.
Right.
Randy tuned it on that, and it made 380, 440 at the wheels.
Good Lord.
Let me tell you how fucking fast this car is now.
Oh, shit.
It goes like a motherfucker on 100-octane. Wait till you see the video. It's so...
Spit blue flames when it's kicking, too?
it sounds different. It doesn't shoot fire, but it has a different sound. It's louder. It pops and cracks more and shit. I experienced the same thing with the Fiesta. It was rad.
Dude, I've seen a couple of Fiestas. There's a couple guys in Austin that have some tunes from Cobb. Mm-hmm. And those things, man, they're fucking rocking.
They rip.
There. And you'll see them out. There's only a couple of really good roads in Austin.
Yeah, the
Lime Creek Road's
Lime
the real
Creek
big
road.
One. It's
yeah,
real narrow.
One.
And there's a neighborhood that's really grown around it, but you'll still, for a little car, that's a great road. Like for Miatas and Fiestas and stuff,
that's
great. You can't take a Ferrari or anything.
No,
out
it's a good hatchback road.
It's a great hatch road.
Yeah. There's another road, it's outside of Austin, and it's by where those like African game safaris are.
Oh, yeah. So Hamilton Pool Road goes out that way.
That's it.
That's one of my favorite roads.
The one that goes up on the side of that mountain and over up to where the African animal reserves
there's
are.
There's that. You take it out toward 281, which is a U.S. highway.
Yeah.
And then you go up like what's called Park Road 4, goes around Inks Lake. There's this guy that built this like reproduction German castle out in the middle of nowhere out there, but there's this cool caverns.
There's
cool
weird
roads.
German shit in Texas.
There's a huge community out there. Like Fredericksburg is the big
is it Fredericksburg?
One.
What's the other one?
New Braunfels.
New Braunfels.
Yeah. There's a pretty big community out there for it, but you know those roads. There's some sneaky stuff where I've gone on some press drives that they've hosted in Austin,
mm-hmm.
and of course those routes are always suggested routes, and you're like, I'm not going on that. I'm taking this shit over here. Like, I'm going over here. Where do we have to meet?
When they bring the press car.
What time do we have to be at lunch?
When they bring the press drive to you.
Right.
Yeah, the route is suggested only.
Yeah, exactly.
That happens to me a lot in LA where there'll be a press launch and I'll be like, I'll see you at dinner.
You just tell me what time I need to be somewhere within a reasonable amount of time, and I'll see you guys there, and I'm going to get my own shots.
But occasionally, you know, when you're in a foreign country or something, like if especially if it's Porsche, because then JF has scouted the route,
right?
And will be good. And then I'm like, how can I be the first car off?
We had one with Audi when I was working for them ages ago. When they launched the Q5, we had one that was in the middle of Spain, And all the guidebooks were all in Spanish, which I speak none of. And all the routes were kind of marked off,
all
but they
to
weren't
know
really
derecha
giving you
and izquierda. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, and but the problem is normally you'll get those guides and it'll say like at mile marker this, you know, this thing, you like reset your trip meter, do that. None of that shit was in the book. And everything is in Spanish, and I speak none of it. And the nav systems, like two of the cars that we had, were basically pre-prods.
Who fucking set this up? This sounds.
It
like
was
a
Audi
disaster.
For it was for like dealer principals and
sounds
dealer
like
managers.
A
yeah, it was an Audi one. It was obviously not a press drive.
Yeah, I know.
But
this
you know,
sound
they were like, we were running
off.
A course very similar. It was like a dry run one. And you're like, oh, by the way, no one knows where the hell we're going because we're all American dealer reps.
That's so fucking funny.
You're like, but hope you don't get too lost in Spain.
Yeah, I do like I like when they've programmed the whole thing to the GPS and I have to think.
Right.
It's fucking nice.
Yeah,
man.
Some of like the one we just did with the AMG guys that they did the same kind
of
thing.
Oh, is the AMG coupe sedan? AMG sedan coupe?
Well, I mean, they just say don't call it a sedan. You're like, "All right, it's got four doors though."
Isn't Now correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it really a CLS with a little bit of different bodywork
no,
on it?
No, so they had a body in white set up. They had a cool activation at Coda in the garages and it was a full-on totally new chassis, all sorts of stuff going on
it's
there.
It's totally cuz yep. I swear
it looks like a CLS, but when you get up next to it, it's a big car, man.
I could have sworn that they said it was based on the CLS. And
I don't
it was
know. Maybe
not,
I didn't hear those words get used, and maybe
well,
that was.
I'm
because,
sure you wouldn't right, have at yeah. the press launch. I'm yeah. sure that'd be the fucking last thing they yeah. said.
But it
well,
was
more importantly, how to drive.
It was good. You know what's interesting too, man? Those cars, you know, they know exactly
those
who they're going after. They're going after a Panamera with that
yeah,
thing.
It looks
and
very
is it
Panamera
size? It's bigger than a CLS?
It's yeah, it's definitely bigger than a CLS.
Oh wow,
it's the size of a Panamera. And I get to drive a Panamera Turbo on a pretty regular basis. And
Panameras are big.
It is a big car.
I mean, they're lovely, but yeah. they're not
it's
small.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing. Not... It. I mean, you can feel its weight. It's a,
what's
it's
it
a pretty good. They didn't say anything official, but I mean. If I had to guess, and I get to drive Coda pretty often, I'd say it's probably in the 4200, 4400 range.
Yeah, okay.
It's got a lot of tech in there. I mean, it's an AMG car,
yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be loaded up with some stuff. But, man, that thing moved around pretty well, considering its weight and size.
Yeah.
That thing, we were
is
logging
it,
any lap times.
It's rear drive or all-wheel drive?
It's all-wheel drive.
It's all-wheel drive, okay.
And it's got that mode like you can do on the E63S
where you can
switch it. I didn't do any of that. I just put it in. They had a couple
it
of
is,
know, master and
it
pro
is
modes.
It is pretty good looking. Can I get a front view, Tim?
Yeah, the front's good.
Yeah. What's the better thing to AMG DG? Yeah, what's the better thing to? Yeah, there we go.
Yep.
The blue. Give me the blue.
So we had blue ones at the drive we did. It's all like right. this flat blue, and I'm tired of flat paints, but that flat blue looked good.
See,
now, that's
okay.
really lit up. That's obviously at an auto show.
That's obviously an auto show, yeah. and it's on a fucking disco floor.
Right.
But see, to me, it's a little disjointed. I don't know. It
you know, it's funny. Like,
well, there you go. The
yeah.
with black, it looks good.
Right. You know, like there's angles you'll walk around it and it'll kind of jump out at you and you're like, oh, that's really good looking. But the thing is, it's just a big car and you're used to looking at the coupe. If that design came out by itself and you
yeah.
didn't see the AMG GT coupe
yeah.
beforehand, you'd be like, oh, this looks great. But because you've seen the coupe for the last 2 years,
you can't uncompare it.
That's
to
exactly
the
coupe. It. Yeah. And which the
wait,
coupe
and
looks
Tim, good. Pull up a picture of the CLS 63 really quick. I know it's they're not technically, you know, one
right.
is bigger than the other, but still they look pretty goddamn similar in pictures.
Yeah. Justin reviewed one for us at Jalopnik recently, the CLS, and it was a 53. It wasn't an AMG model.
Oh, the 53. Is that the inline? Is that
yeah,
that's the inline
so,
six, right?
So we did the E-Class
wow,
coupe next day as well.
The CLS looks fucking awfully restrained and classy, doesn't
right.
it? That, I mean, God, the CLS 63.
It's a good looking car.
That's a great looking car. And that's a really good photograph of it, too. It really looks nice.
You know, when I first saw it, they showed that car off in Detroit this year, I guess, back in January. And I saw those headlights. And I was like, oh, that's not going to work. And then I saw it again.
It works.
I'm like, nope, it's good.
And it looks so much less. Go back to the AMG GT. The GT looks fucking a little busier, doesn't it?
A little bit.
A lot of busyness
like it,
happening there.
Man, it's got some good flares.
I would love to drive one. I'm sure it drives nice.
It's cool. Yeah, it was good. I mean,
my
it's
jam,
fast.
Dude, for Mercedes right now is the wagon.
Dude,
the
E-wagon.
E63 wagon is so hot.
Andrew reviewed one a while back and took the damn thing camping. He went out like in the desert or something.
Before he fucking lost his hand?
Yeah, it was before the accident.
We got to get him back on the show. That's some crazy shit.
Yeah, Balaban's in town right now hanging out with him.
Is he?
And they're,
the fuck aren't they here?
I talked to him yesterday and they're, you know, he's recovering. He's, you know, he's got a road ahead.
Is he going to get his use of his hand back?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it a whole lot in depth.
Does he have a fucking hand?
Yeah.
What happened?
On his wedding day, he had like a was it side-by-side?
Yeah.
Was he on a side-by-side?
Yeah.
He had, on his wedding day, had a fucking accident in his side-by-side and mangled the fuck out of his hand.
Damn.
And yeah, I think, I'm probably going to say this wrong, but if I read, like, he had to like get life flighted out of there. Right.
Well, no, his wife made the decision on the fly that they had a couple options to work with, and she made the quick call to say, "Hey, no, let's get him medevaced over to another hospital where they've got a proper trauma center."
Oh yeah, it was like either amputate his hand or life flight him to another hospital.
So, jump on
so
that.
Crazy. Yeah, didn't they get like married like either on the fucking plane or in the hospital or I mean, yeah. He needs to come back. Yeah. I love Andrew.
Dude's a trooper.
I mean, that's like, that is such a gnarly fucking story.
I know, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kristen, and I'm getting married, you know, next month, and Kristen's like, she's like, there's no way in hell you're doing anything off-road.
Yeah,
and
no
like,
side-by-sides like,
yeah,
at the wedding.
Yeah, let me just go drive the world's fastest car, you know, a month before we get married. Hopefully nothing stupid happens.
That's safer than a fucking razor.
Yeah, I don't do off-road shit. Like, we've got, you know, obviously for Jalopnik needs, we've got guys that handle off-road stuff. Me, I'll stick to pavement. I'm good at that. That's where I'm at home.
I'm like a little off. I used to say that I wasn't good at off-roading. Tim, I think we're okay at off-roading now, right?
Yeah,
you proved that you could take a Velar skills. Off-road, so you know that.
Dude,
worked.
That thing was rad.
Dude, that was insane.
The Velar was excellent off-road.
And you did all right with it. Like, you know, you at least had some fundamentals to work with. I've got none of that shit. Like
we've done
good I am on-road, I suck off-road.
Timmy and I, we did 1,200 miles on off-road in a Previa. You know what I mean? Once you do it in a Previa, in a mid-engine rear drive minivan,
it's gotta be brilliant.
A Velar is like piece of fucking cake.
Yeah,
we gotta get some new SUVs and go up that trail again though.
100%.
I like that trail, the Pioneer Trail at Rower Flats. That's a good test.
That's not far away either, is it?
No, it's like probably 50 miles of highway away. That's it's very close. We did bring my friend Nick's Macan along with us. It made it about 100 feet up the hill.
Yeah. I mean, you had a lot of stuff where you could easily high center and just kind of drag shit and tear it up if you didn't.
That hill, I don't think, comes off quite as difficult as it is on camera. It's pretty hard. It's a pretty tough hill.
Yeah.
You do need some proper off-road capability to do that.
Yeah, and I've been invited to a couple of those schools where we've got, you know, people are like, oh, hey, we'd love you to do a feature on it. Well, I was like, you know, we've got David, we've got Andrew for that kind
of
stuff. There was one I was going to do somewhere in Georgia recently, but I had a conflict. I had to shoot a rally race or something.
You got to do a couple of those schools. Like I went on. I got a lot more confident with my off roading after doing actually like the Range Rover press launch. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's really just about where you put your tire. Like that's really kind of it. And once you figure out how you know to not actually you know try and straddle this rock, it's to actually drive over the rock, and
there used to be a little more to it, but now with technology.
I was gonna say, when you do with a Range Rover drive and you go in one of those, you can just push a button and it helps you a lot.
You still have
to have some fundamentals to work with though.
True, but it's not like I'm gonna go back to fucking driving a CJ.
Yeah, this is true.
I will.
Timmy will, but
like you gotta manually engage your lockers on those.
Your car is pretty idiot proof. Your 4Runner is pretty idiot-proof for most things.
And I don't have that much tech either.
What year is yours? It's
06.
Dude, yeah, those things are... Yeah.
It's an 06, but it's painted the current color, so it looks a lot newer than it is.
Yeah, it's a creamy brown.
Is it called desert tan? What's it called?
Quicksand.
Quicksand. That color, man, there's something about it. It just works.
Mm-hmm.
We had a...
Khaki works on a fucking off-road
We had a
truck.
Tundra, or not a Tundra, it was a Tacoma we borrowed. Yeah, we had a Tacoma we borrowed for the track day group I'm a part of.
For the track day group you're a part of?
Yeah,
it seems like it works, yeah.
Yeah, for like toting around shit, it was great. Like, but it was in that color as well. Like, yeah, it was for supplies. We've got a hauler. Like, we've got a proper Super Duty for pulling the trailers. But that thing was, we farted around with it a little bit, took it off a little bit off the path. And
yeah.
Man, those things are good.
They're great. Yeah, they're great.
And even the new ones.
I'm excited for the Ranger Raptor. That's what I'm excited for. Because a Raptor, and he is from someone who owned an old Raptor.
Right.
It was ridiculously big then.
Yeah.
It's even bigger.
Yeah.
There's no fucking reason it needs to be that big.
The Ranger, I think there's a good marketplace for that truck.
Hell yeah.
You know, that bringing back, you know, the
Ranger
Colorado,
is
the Ranger
the size
really
of
good
a 1998 F-150.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it. Like,
which was a perfectly
huge,
acceptably sized vehicle.
Right.
Like,
you used to be able to park a full-size truck in a normal two-car garage.
Right.
You know, not to worry about, like, just destroying everything in sight. And now,
you can't get a Raptor in my garage. I have a normal-sized garage.
Right.
In fact, I have a garage that you go nose to tail.
Right.
You can't get a Raptor in there.
No.
It's fucking retarded.
It's the height thing, too. They're just
the height
huge.
The height and the width is what does it. Yeah, it's ridiculous. We glossed right over that you had a go in the Agera RS yesterday. Was it today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Thing is fucking gnarly.
Yeah, and I drove the big one, like the one that the famous one, so to speak. That thing was unbelievably fast. I've driven all sorts of fast stuff, and that's just a new word for it.
Yeah, Koenigsegg's are really you know my favorite thing about them is the wraparound windshield. The view from inside one of those things is really unlike any other car.
It's, you know, the roof line kind of cuts a little low on it, so when you're pulling up at a light, you got to kind of lean a little bit.
The neck crane.
But the visibility around you in the cockpit in it, it's really good.
It's lovely.
You know?
It's not the A-pillars are actually pretty small.
They're out where they need to be, too. You're not having to worry about coming to a junction and going, oh, shit, I can't see around this thing.
Yeah, they actually are out. They're further forward of your side-to-side visibility,
and
which is so nice.
And there's a cool little trick on the screen where you toggle the little center dial and then your screen becomes a rear view camera. It just stays on all the time. So you have a rear view mirror without having a rear view mirror.
I never actually drove an Agera on the road.
Yeah.
I only ever drove one from the old Swedish Air Force silo around up the road a little bit to the runway.
Right.
Did like six pulls on the runway. That was it.
And it was actually really good on the road. I was impressed. I mean, it's, if you want to go fast, it'll go fast, you know, it'll, but it's compliant as hell. I'm really surprised.
Well, the mid-engine cars, they don't have to be too stiff because you can have those control arms that go really far into the middle.
Right.
It's like the front engine cars where you've got this big engine there and you have a front, you know, especially a transverse engine car where you have the angles aren't right. So you have to have a very stiff shock. The longer your control arms are, the more precise you can have with the shock control. And,
well, you look at with Koenigsegg too, with what they've done with that triplex suspension in the back. They invented a whole new way of having an inboard suspension.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, cool. These are really great designs that we've seen. I think it's one of the things I like most about Koenigsegg.
They build
cars
like...
Christian's just like, I'm going to build something that's going to work for what I think the car should be able to do, not based on any current technology.
Well,
they
build cars as if no one else has ever built a car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They build cars like almost completely in a vacuum.
Yep.
And that could go one of two ways, and it's gone the good way.
Quite successful for them, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Patrick made the joke a while back, and we told Christian this the first time we got to really chat with him. Patrick's theory is that Christian is a man from the future.
Possibly.
And he's trying to invent the car that will take him back to his home time.
That's very funny. I like that. He's also, like, partially supervillain. He's a little bit Lex Luthor.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, the man has no eyebrows and works in an old Air Force base with fucking ghosts as their
theme. It makes the most ridiculous cars. It's insane how fast those things are.
Is it a privately owned car? It is, right?
Yeah.
So you got it from the owner?
Yeah, I went with the owner.
Oh,
We took it out. He took off after, I guess, we went and grabbed some lunch, and then I was with the rep for Koenigsegg. A colleague that's friends with the guys that's the PR guy for Koenigsegg.
And we
talked for a little while and took some coordination, and I was like, hey, I'm going to happen to be in LA this particular week. Do you guys have anything going on? I'm like, well, let's do it. And at first, I didn't know which car it was going to be until, I don't know, maybe about 2 weeks ago. And it was from, hey, yeah, we're going to have you drive a car, to, oh, by the way, do you mind if it happens to be the record breaker? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Twist my arm.
I mean, that is cool, but in theory, it shouldn't matter.
Right. They're still fast.
I mean, but shouldn't they all, like, if it's the record breaker or not, shouldn't they all be that fast?
Except that there's a couple of different ways you can get your car tuned. There is a megawatt option, so to speak, and everybody pretty much goes for it. It's like a $200,000 option or something.
Yeah, it's like the hyper kill mode option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and
they need to run E85 for that, right? It's an E85 tune.
You can run either.
No, but if you actually want the full kill power,
I think
that's an E85 tune. You can't get that on pump gas.
Maybe.
Or not on 91 anyway.
Right.
Certainly not on fucking California 91.
Right, yeah.
We ran on pump gas
yesterday. We filled it up right before we took off and
Without a stopwatch.
Right.
Trust me, you can't fucking tell. What's the difference between 1,000 and 1,300 horsepower?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? By the seat of your pants.
A 918 feels really, really fast.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, this still feels really fast. Is it a marked difference once you get past about 130, 140?
Maybe. If you have a stopwatch, yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But you know,
I think it's more sensation.
Yeah, and also, it's like, there's a little placebo happening.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to be doing monster speeds to be able to tell the difference by the seat of the pants between 1,000 and 1,200 or 1,300 horsepower.
And there's something, too, about those cars where, in the Koenigsegg, it's just, it makes a huge amount of noise. It's, you know, like, it's got a really cool rumble to it.
They've
got a
awesome
real throaty
noises.
Sound. Like, you know, you drive a 918 or a P1 or a LaFerrari, they don't make that same kind of noise. You know, they're a little more subtle. And I like that about the Koenigsegg, that the thing is just ridiculously loud. It's angry. It's, you know, rumbles everywhere you go. People are looking at it and then they hear it coming first.
They do have this sort of sustained sort of you don't get from other cars. Right.
That and when you shift gears in it, it doesn't do like little crackles and pops. It's like a fucking cannon going off.
It bangs. Yeah. It does bang. I really enjoyed. Yeah. Although I haven't driven an RS. I drove a Gara R. Mm-hmm. I found the gear changes weren't quite as fast as some of the other dual clutch stuff.
Yeah, maybe it's just that, or it's just really fierce, you know. And I don't know if it's maybe it's Ricardo.
The gearbox reminded me of an Aventador gearbox.
Oh yeah, I mean it jumps. Yeah, like when you pull a gear on it, if you're not flat, it'll jump.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're stomping on it and then you pull a gear, it seems a little smoother. It reminds me of the sensation in the early gen R8s,
right?
Where that single mass
kick. Yeah, it's a kick. Did they have you do the go 200 and stand on the brakes thing?
No.
That really bugged me out.
Yeah,
when
I wasn't going to try that shit.
I did it in the press cars. The gray one that like everybody drove that had like 55,000 miles on it, the fucking factory bitch car.
Right. Just take your hands off the wheel.
When he goes, I want you to go 200, take your hands off the wheel and stand on the brakes. And you go, excuse me.
I'm a pretty trusting guy, but I'm
that shit worked. Yeah, right. Shit worked.
Oh, I bet it does.
Unbelievable. But yeah,
but me, I'm wired of like, if I'm hitting the brakes, my hands need to be on the wheel.
Totally. But that dude, Robert, I don't know if he's there anymore, the test driver, Robert. Yeah. He said it with such calmness and confidence that I was like, if he's in the passenger seat and he thinks this is chill, like, cool. All right,
let's go for it. Yeah.
Fucking do it, you know?
Yeah, I'd craziness. Probably do it if I were told. Like, if I were on a closed course, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
If I'm going to run, like, an airstrip, no problem.
Yeah.
But if I'm on a toll road in Southern California, I don't think I'm taking my hands off the wheel.
No, no. On the toll. Were you on the 73? That's a real good place to go fast, actually.
Man, there are a couple speed traps on there, but yeah.
There are, but I feel like, but they're only during like commuting hours.
Yeah.
If you go out at night, I feel like you pay that toll to speed. That's,
California
is okay.
We were out
that.
During the day and we're out in the early afternoon.
There's
but
one
right
place they
was
there's
up.
One place they always hide when you come in down that big hill that bends to the right. They're always on the inside.
Luckily,
of that.
Tim, the BR guy for Koenigsegg that was with me in the afternoon, he knew what's up because he drives out there all the time.
Yeah,
and so it was nice having a guide basically that's like, all right, here's where we can open it up, here's where we don't, here's where we're gonna keep an eye out for when we're out in these little canyon roads. It was.
Oh,
spots.
Did you
have
a go in the tighter roads?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it good?
It maneuvers, man. It's pretty good.
I'm sure it's, I mean, I, yeah. good. I'm sure it's I mean, fucking great. It's light as hell. It's like 30.
Right, that's the crazy part. You're
31,
like,
31, 32?
I think it's 3,100 pounds.
That's so light.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the size of the thing and you're expecting
well, it's
to
one,
be a tank.
It would be
no.
almost 1-to-1, right? So 1,300 horsepower and 1,300 kilograms, which would be.
I mean, a Gera RS basically does do the math on, like, the old 1-to-1 car they built.
Right. Wait, let me do that. So it's 13. I need to know. What is 1,300 times 2.2?
Damn imperial math.
So that's 2,860. Fucking, if it's under 3, that would be, that's wild.
Maybe not.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
I don't know.
Did it have the stripped out interior?
It had no,
a,
it had
a real interior,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it had stitched seats. They were nice looking, too. I like the pattern on it that had woven into it.
What, the little fucking beetle back pattern?
Yeah, it had like, the little curvature to it. It's, uh-huh. You know, like you look at a Bentley and they've got that little diamond thing they do in all their cars
with
the little
Mulliner
package.
Yeah, quilted, yeah.
Like, that's
good.
Cool. But this has a little hint of curve to it here and there.
That's it's very nice. Can you get a picture of the interior, Tim?
Yeah, I didn't know the interior.
A Gera RS interior.
And of course, they're all bespoke, so God only knows, if this customer happened to do something special.
Well, the colors are, but I just want to see the stitching pattern. I always thought that was so cool with that round sort of console thing they have.
That's so cool.
It's really unlike anything else. And I love the way the fucking the air vents sort of pop out of the center.
Yeah.
Like a chimney stack or something.
I mean, you control on that center screen. You've got on the ones that are at like 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock and then over at, 8 and 10, those buttons, those are your window up and down buttons. But being CAN bus, you can reprogram however you want.
Yeah.
So if you want to change something up, you can just call them up and say, hey, I want to download the software and we want to do something different with how I have my buttons controlled, or I want to do something different with them, or I want to have some go crazy mode. But I mean, there's probably nothing that's outside the realm of what they can do for you.
It's
which is
awesome.
Just cool because this is where your window switches go in every other car.
Oh Jesus! Pull up that awful color combo that you just had the mouse over right there. Nah, it doesn't work. That one doesn't work.
A little too much white for me.
Huh?
A little too much white for me.
That's a lot of. I don't like a lot of white in my interiors. It doesn't.
I wear jeans. That fucks up that stuff.
Yeah.
If you wear like black slacks
Seriously.
All the time, sure you're gonna be fine.
The white isn't good on it, and a white floor mat. Yikes. Right.
Ooh, not, no. I would destroy those.
That's not gone well there.
My feet get dirty.
What you can't really see in that picture, though, is the amount that that windshield is curved. It's really...
Yeah.
It's really curved around.
Is there an above shot of one?
It really accentuates the... Oh, wait. Go the one in the second row down on the right. It's the same white.
Yeah.
See, that's a good... That one's got the spider.
Yep.
Well,
they
roof,
all have.
They all, I mean, sorry. Yeah. The roof is off. But, yeah. But right there, if you zoom out in that image, you can really tell from that A-pillar to the windshield how far forward that goes. You can look by at the curvature of the headliner there.
Yep.
That's a... That one, a little too much white still, but you get it.
Yeah, at least you can see it.
Yeah, yeah. And I do like how the door cuts forward into the cabin and makes it easier to get in and out. It's not that hard to get in and out of that car.
No, and the cool part is, too, is the way the tub is done. It's actually pretty low.
Mm.
So, like, I was comparing it yesterday. We were talking about how it is to get out of a P1. You know, and the way a McLaren has their tub where it comes up your sides a little bit. Like, the way you have to kind of throw your ass over it. Like,
720, the 720 is much better. Have you got in a 720?
Yeah.
That was... See, here the Koenigsegg, you can see, has a really wide sill.
Yep.
Where, and you sit really close in the center.
Yep.
The 720 has a much more cut-out sill that makes it... I mean, again, we're talking about completely different cars.
Yeah.
Fucking rad, though.
That was rad.
That black with the orange accents really works.
Yeah,
that
this guy's
lined
was,
up weave.
Yeah, it was black on his, and he had little, like, the color stitching in it.
The red,
the
right?
Outside.
The red stitching, yeah. That's
pretty cool.
Dope. What's the sticker on that? Three?
I think, that's the funny part. They didn't mention, because we,
didn't.
You know, they're all custom. Anything can be anywhere between 2.5 to 4, I think, is probably a range on those things.
But they go for... They go for even more. I mean, if you get one, it's instantly worth more.
Yeah, and on the one I drove yesterday, the owner of that one has been offered a stupid amount of money for it. He didn't say what the number was, but he said it was a stupid amount of money, and he was even like, one, I don't need it, and two,
yeah. Well,
I like
if you can
car.
Get one, you don't need it. That's sort of
right.
The fucking thing, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And
I
the amount
you-
of time you have to wait to get one. He bought the guy that had the record breaking car.
Mm-hmm.
While he was waiting for his to get built, he wanted a Koenigsegg in general, so he went and bought a CCX, you know, a pre-owned one,
uh-huh.
And was like, this will hold me over in the meantime, and
yeah.
He's like, I still love the car, so he's still got it, and he drives it around.
The CCX is a stick one, right?
His is an automatic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's the only CCX with an automatic.
Well, that's a bummer.
Right? There's lots of little unique things about his car.
That's a fucking downer, huh?
Yeah, I was hoping they were going to have another one that was going to come out that has that cool,
the manual.
Rushed
it has
lever.
This really weird, it's almost like the Volvo the Volvo V70R,
right.
Where it's like a, it's like
it
almost
looks
like a
like
joystick.
A sequential, yeah.
Yeah, like a joystick.
Yeah.
Speaking of sequentials, I saw, did you know there's a fucking sequential shifter box that you can get that goes on a Tremec? It's like $2,500.
Yep.
And have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's
so
fucking
I'm driving something. I'm driving something on Friday that's got a T56.
What, the truck? The classics? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm pretty stoked about that. That's going to be kind of cool. It's not my usual sort of thing, but I'm like, you know, it's got a Z06 swap and it's got a sequential T56. That's going to be a blast.
The guy who built it, Noah Alexander from Classic Car Studio, was on the show.
Nice.
And he was talking about it. And he wanted me to drive the truck. It doesn't have power brakes. And that's where I tapped out.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Enjoy that.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
But
we're driving around Malibu. Like, we're starting up on Malibu on Friday morning.
It does have a sequential shifter in it. Apparently, it just goes right on, and there's no... That's it. Yeah, and there's no downside to it other than the fact that it's $2,500, which is a lot for a shifter, but I think that's cool as hell.
Yeah, they are. Especially, too, in a car, or in this case, a truck that old.
Yeah.
You know, something from the 80s that's got... Something modern like that sticking out of the floor, that's just cool.
I mean, honestly, if I wasn't selling my Fox body, it would be tempting.
Yeah.
If I was looking for the next way to dump fucking money into that car, it would 100% be tempting. Voodoo engine, you know?
Right.
TR, whatever the fuck, Tremec they use out of the Shelby.
Right.
And the sequential shifter.
That'd be a blast.
But no, bring a trailer. Bring a trailer.
Yeah.
Instead,
it's going to sail.
I should mention, bring a trailer. It is going up for auction. By the time this show goes, the recorded portion of the show goes live, it should probably be up. No reserve. Car's been freshly serviced, fluids tied, brand new cup twos, every fresh alignment, everything that I could possibly sort is sorted.
Nice.
And half the money is going to charity. Whatever it goes for, 50% will go to charity. So winner chooses the charity.
Justin Clark just asked for a commercial.
Hi, Justin.
Which you just did.
What else do I want to know? I mean, it's on Bring a Trailer. Everything about the car that I can say about it is on Bring a Trailer. And Whoever gets it will get a car that's ready to drive and needs absolutely nothing. And as far as I mean, you know, something might come up tomorrow. The fuck knows? But like, clean title, all that bullshit. Come get it, and I'll include a steak dinner with me and Zach. Maybe Tim. Tim wants to eat some steaks.
Perhaps.
And a private tour of the canyons. And if you are local and want it, I got two passes to Radwood for you, as well as a display pass if you want to bring the car to Radwood. But it's not. I've submitted all the shit to bring a trailer. They're writing the listing right now, and it will be up probably at the end of this week or beginning of next week. And we're going to do a live show. We're going to do a live auction commentary for the last hour of the auction, really? Which they're going to embed the live show into the listing so we can can be like a live, like Barrett Jackson kind of thing, but with my car and bring a trailer. So
just with fewer zip ties and, you know, fewer ways to make it seem like it's a one-off car when it's not really a one-off car.
Right.
Got to rip on Barrett Jackson for that.
Oh, I like Barrett Jackson. I like it for the spectacle. I wouldn't buy anything, but right. I do like it for the spectacle. Yeah. I think it's fun.
I do. I've been to a few auctions. I've done a Mecum one not too long ago, and those are always kind of hilarious.
Mecum because of the bid goes on.
Yeah.
Mecum, like Barrett's is pretty much a no reserve auction, right? Everything sells at Barrett, doesn't it?
I think so.
I think everything sells at Barrett. But Mecum has the bid goes on. So if it doesn't sell, they fucking roll the cards in another room.
Oh yeah, and two guys will be hammering out a deal on the side behind
a
curtain over
and
there.
You can write a bid. They put a thing on the windshield and you can write your bid in, and there are some deals.
Oh yeah, I mean they had one in Austin a while back, and there were guys working it, and you know, guys were going over on the conversations afterward. They'd have a separate part of the floor where they roll over to, and guys would just be hanging out like, hey, how close are we? Like, where do we go? I don't want to ship this fucker back. You know, what do we need to do to make this deal happen today, guys?
I mean, when I did some commentating in Mecum, it was like, fuck, there was Bentleys for $20,000. Oh, yeah. And like, I mean, all kind of cool stuff.
Yeah.
I like that. But have you been to Barrett, like to Scottsdale Barrett?
Scottsdale, yeah.
What a shit show.
It's insane how many cars. Like, I knew it was a big show, and I've been to a couple of, you know, I've been to a few auctions here and there. But I've never done that one, and this has been probably like 3 years since I did that.
It was huge.
It was insane.
And the side area, like the non-car, or like the flea market area where you could buy like
just all the merch.
Turbine-powered airboat,
right?
You know, or like an adjustable bed or a pair of cowboy boots or a fucking ugly painting.
There's a marketplace for everything there.
Everything.
I mean, if you're willing to pay for a vendor pass to do something there and buy the space to do it, you can sell whatever you
want. Actually, you know what I bought when I went to Barrett? I bought fucking bamboo sheets and pillows. You know, those like the always cold
shit you could just buy on Amazon and have shipped to your house.
Dude,
you buy
it
at the
cold. Well, I put my hand on the pillow. I was like, it's cold. They're like, I know. And I was like, I'll take
close
two.
To you, bastard.
And I walked around the whole rest of the day carrying these fucking
You're the pillows. One that helps those people stay in business of doing that shit, going to those shows.
Listen,
they don't have to mail it back.
Still using them.
Right. Yeah,
I love them. I'm still using them. I have no regrets at all.
It was like somebody was selling helicopters at one of these things.
Yeah.
Too. You're like, they just have a tent set up and they're outside. They're like, hey, by the way, we've got some helicopters. Did you get enough cars? You get a boat? Cool. Get a helicopter while you're
really
here.
Liked, there was a place that, there was a guy that, restored Chris Crafts and had like seven or eight old wooden Chris Crafts from the 50s and 40s. And I was like, damn. And they weren't, I mean, you know, I say they weren't that expensive. Like, considering it's like throwaway money, you know, they're 20, 30, 40 grand. I mean, not 200,
right?
You know, for like a little wooden Chris Craft. Like, there's a dude I see in Marina Del Rey who, I mean, it's got to be every single day around sunset, just gets in his little Chris Craft, fucking blah, 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 with a fucking fat-ass cigar and a bottle of scotch, and he seems like he really enjoys his life. Yeah. I'd like
imagine
to be
so.
Him.
Yeah. You know, if you're going on a boat every sunset, you know, and kind of, you know.
He probably lives on it.
Yeah, right. What you don't see.
Yeah, what you don't see is the tent that gets pitched over the Chris Craft.
It's like walk through half of Venice right now. You see some really cool, you know, old wagons, and you're like, wait a minute, somebody lives in that thing.
Why can't I see in the windows?
Why is there a bucket next to it?
Hashtag van life.
Right.
We have in Venice, man, the fucking RVs.
Yeah, you know, like eight people camping out of them now.
And you just, I think, what is it, every 5 days or 6 days, Tim, they got to be moved, but it's
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, they got to rotate around every so often.
Not often enough.
Right. Yeah.
I just had to go down a little bit. Right. I was a little high.
Well, and they keep changing the length and height restrictions, too, to try to combat it, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that. They also start changing the cleaning schedules on the street. They've got some, you know...
Some of these guys don't give a fuck, though. There's one that's parked on Pacific that has, like, a dozen parking tickets on the fucking windshield and a boot on it. And all day, I drive by and I hear the generator running.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
the ones that are on the sidewalks as well. The friend of mine's got the place over here. You know, she's right over Radovan McKinney. Uh-huh. And... they were smart about the ones that are camping on the sidewalks. Their HOA got together and just bought a bunch of planters and had this landscaping dude come out and set up a bunch of planter boxes.
So you
for
can't even, like,
200 yards yeah. all the way down the damn sidewalk. They're all like, hey, man, we'll kick in a couple hundred bucks each. They spend, you know, a few grand.
Yeah.
Have some guy do some planted stuff and some big drop boxes. Hey, my sidewalk just got cleaned up.
Yeah. I mean, I would love for Venice, and Venice is particularly friendly towards homeless. And like, you know, I have a way better life than a homeless person. So who am I to fucking judge? But I really would like the city to provide some actual options for the homeless
yeah.
that don't include literally setting up a 12-man tent on the sidewalk.
Right. They're
building like 200 beds right by Gold Gym.
Are they?
Yeah. Like, but it's going to fuck over the town.
Why will it fuck the town over?
Just that whole block is just going to be homeless people wandering around.
Yep.
Well, I mean, they got to be somewhere. They got to be somewhere.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know what to fucking do about it, but, like, you have to provide them, like, somewhere.
Yeah, Austin's real bad about that, too, man. We've got a real bad homeless problem
in Austin.
Yeah.
Well, when the weather's nice, you know, and sleeping outside is
still, 6 months a year, it's pretty miserable in Austin. It's hot, it? Man. It's in the 90s, like, under half the year.
Hot is, I think, better than freezing cold, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's not like Detroit, you know, where a lot of homeless guys up there, and it's, you know, minus 10 in the winter.
Yeah, that's fucked up. They're moving the Detroit Auto Show to the summer.
Yeah.
Fucking how many years have they been? How many years have they been having the coldest week of the year?
And they're like, yeah, let's get all these journos to come in from Southern California and New York, and let's just let's drop in the middle of sub-zero temps and then do a bunch of press drives at the same time. That's a great idea. Yeah. On roads you have no idea how to drive in the winter, and let's give you cars that have maybe some summer tires on them.
Yeah.
Like an example of a car we drove this January that was one of our press cars.
Really?
Yeah, we had an S-Class coupe that had summer tires on it.
Oh, my God. No, the good thing is it doesn't have
luckily
much torque.
Luckily, it was snowing, but it wasn't, like, you know, cumulative. There wasn't any ice. It was just dirty outside.
Yeah, well, with no torque, you should have no problem at all, right? It's a good thing it's got such a small engine. The
car looked great in the shoot, though, because we shot it all over town.
Ford took us to Portland in, like, March for a Mustang launch. It snowed.
Right, yeah.
And they go, listen, do you mind? You know, we were at the bar, and it's fucking snowing, and we're all just going, how's this going to go? And they go, listen, would you mind, Matt, and, you know, whoever else, can you sleep in until, like, 10 tomorrow? Because we've got 40 sets of snow tires coming in, and they won't be here until the morning.
Like, we got a guy coming out and mounting for the next 7 hours.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. Going to get his commission out of that.
Fucking crazy. Speaking of tires, you know, Lamborghini, the Pirelli makes Countach tires again.
They started making those retro tires again?
Yeah.
What, so you don't have to roll around on, like, 12-year-old tires on your car anymore?
I bought this car. The tires are date-coded 07. Sounds like, yeah, these got to go. But I was so worried because the last time I even thought about Countach tires was the guy who I bought the car from.
Right.
He told me they were $10,000. And I was like, this is going to be horrible. $1,900.
That's not bad at all.
For a set of four.
Especially, what are they, like, 315s on the back of that thing?
345, 35, 15s.
They're 15s. They're like 15s. Yeah, I remember that.
And then a
these monster sidewalls on them.
255, 55, 15 in the front. But I totally.
But they still have that cool old groove look to them as well.
Oh, they look. It's a new rubber compound.
Right.
So it's the same compound as the P0 you get now.
Nice.
But stamped in the old look.
Nice.
So
that's the cool part.
I should have decent grip. I found out some other things. The brakes, pads, and rotors are exactly the same as they use in my 911.
Oh, cool.
Boom. Done.
That's easy.
Yeah. And the shocks are Koni. Still make them. Not expensive.
You just get standard, some shelf parts for a lot.
Standard shock. Nice. Yeah. Fucking great.
That's the crazy thing. Like, you go buy anything from the 80s, you're rolling the dice going, oh, how much shit do I have to go buy from a specialty guy or find parts if you can?
Well, the guys at GTO Engineering, the tires, those are the old ones. The guys at GTO Engineering who were working on the car were saying, yeah, you know, there are certain little parts that are basically kind of unobtainium, and so
right.
there's been sort of a little cottage industry popping up around, you know, making and 3D printing and whatever, these parts that, you know, no one makes anymore. But a lot of the,
like, bushings, when those things are busting up, you're screwed.
Yeah, well, a lot of the, actually, bushings are not that bad. The parts aren't bad. The labor to do bushings is bad. I don't have to do them, thank God. They were done recently enough. But
were they tearing out of it right now, then?
So I bought this car mid-service.
Okay.
I'm not paying for the service, thank God. So right now, they're doing a clutch, a flywheel, a water pump, and the tires, the door struts, which were a little saggy.
Yep.
Nothing major.
But it's an engine-out job you've got in the middle of right now.
It's an engine-out.
So,
but I'm not paying for it.
Right. But is there any other stuff that's coming up on the shopping list? You're like, well, shit, well, it's out of there right now. So let's throw some stuff
other,
in here.
The other one, shockingly few.
Yep.
Not really. The other one was, it had the valve job like 1,000 miles ago. And the valve job is a biggin'.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because it's a QV.
Right,
so
yeah.
It's 48 right. valves need replacing. So they've been upgraded to stainless steel valves, which is a lifetime thing. But once they bed in, they needed a valve adjustment, which should be good for the next 10 years.
Oh, cool.
So I split the valve adjustment with the seller.
Right.
I bought the tires. He's doing the clutch, water pump, flywheel, and door struts.
How long do you think it's going to take to turn around where you get it back on the road?
Oh, like middle of next week.
Nice.
No, it's no big deal. And it's going to take that long to get the reg and all that shit sorted out anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
badass. It's fucking good to go. I mean, other than that, the car's ace.
You have a car that's going to be ready to roll, and like, you can have it functional for quite some time.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Cool.
I'm
that's
so
badass.
Excited to fucking drive that thing. And I'm gonna be the king of Radwood this year. Oh, can you pull up that sim picture? Because check this out. So this fan, this is my friend Nick's sim. It's awesome. It's got a stick shift and fucking all the good shit. And he's got VR goggles too, which make me a little dizzy. But there's a fan of the Smoking Tire who, from my videos and Google Maps in the game Assetto Corsa, made the fucking canyons.
No shit.
What?
Like, he made the entire, like all the way to Newcomb's Ranch on Angel's
Crest.
Wait,
is that, so, I was just looking at the hashtag yesterday, because I was curious, and I was seeing the game name on there a bunch.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of his screen grabs, basically, from the sim.
Right, so, that picture that you're looking at is the turnout, is European car turnout, where you were talking about. And I drove the whole loop from Angeles Crest to Upper Big Tujunga
right.
to Angeles Forest
right.
and down Big Tujunga. Like, it is perfect.
That's so cool.
It's so accurate.
He looks like he's got like the donut marks all over the ground on the
yeah.
tree. Like, he just napped
dude,
it out.
And he's got the trees. He's got, like, I go, okay, in real life, you come around this corner
right.
and there's a dude who lives in an RV right there. And I came around the corner and there he was. Like,
right.
there's the guy's RV. And like, here's the pumping station.
I
like,
saw that RV earlier today.
Yeah, like, here's the Mount Wilson Road turnout. And
right.
you can't go all the way up it, but you can go like, a quarter of a mile. And dude, it is accurate
that's
as a
cool.
motherfucker.
Got a couple extra ground squirrels to get a tag every
oh
now and then.
Oh my God. So the guys, I think if you play Assetto Corsa, you just search for LA Canyons.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different ways you can do it. You can drive it as a police chase. You can drive it as a race. You can drive it as a free driving. It's absolutely unreal.
Nice.
And I just pulled up a McLaren F1 GTR and just...
That's going to be a blast on that road.
It was the...
So I'm going to figure out next is like, what's going to be the dumbest or like most ridiculous fast car I can take out there? Never going to take anything wild out there.
Let's see.
Because every time I set up something, it's Ford
GT I took, the new GT.
Nice.
And if I told you how fast I got from the Shell station to Newcomb's Ranch, you would
right,
not
yeah.
believe me.
that car's so ridiculous.
The NSX also was really, really fast up there.
Yeah, I like the new one.
The NSX is spectacular. You know what I just heard from a guy? I just met a guy at Acura. All the most common options that people took in
yep.
2017 on the NSX
right.
have become standard for the new one.
Yeah, and
no additional cost.
Yeah, I was going to say, so they carried over a bunch of stuff, and there's a huge amount of tuning work that's been done on the new
yeah.
car. I don't know. I got to check it out at the end of this month. Like, we're going up to Ohio.
Mm.
And that was the thing, is that they basically added $6,000 or something like that
and more
options. And
yeah.
they're like, and we improved the software. The tune's a little bit better on it.
And
there's
they have a new
stuff.
Tire compound as well.
That's cool.
Apparently, people were complaining about the base tire.
Right.
I drove with the Trofeo or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was nice.
Yeah.
But I guess they have a new new Continental they're using.
Maybe.
I think he said Continental. Huh. I don't want to fuck it up, but I think it's Continental. But,
I have to ask Brian Eversley. He knows everything involving Acuras and Continentals.
This dude rolled up to the watch event I had and in an orange one, which was a factory car, and it was, looked good. Look nice.
I'd be curious.
They got rid
of
the chrome beak too.
Really?
They ditched the chrome beak up front. They made it all black.
They're working on that on every car of their lineup now. They're trying to get rid of that thing.
The chrome beak.
Yeah, that design language. You know, it was like 2008, I guess, when they first started throwing that on everything, and then everything in their lineup
people
had to have it.
People don't like their cars to look like birds.
Right? Yeah, they're shit. The NSX is a great car, though. I mean,
rad.
I had an NA1 ages ago. And when they brought the new one out, I was like, oh, God, it's going to be a hybrid. It's going to be all this. And then I drove it. I was like, okay, I'm shutting up.
No, it's magic.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's like 90% of a 918.
Yeah.
It's very close in terms of real world. I mean, maybe not on a track, but in real world driving.
Yeah, for usability, yeah.
Totally close to a 918.
Yeah.
Really comfortable, really fast.
Yeah, I'm
really
stoked about the new one. I'm, you know, and like I said, it's just a bunch of little things across the board. They made it better.
Hold on.
Just do it.
I'm sorry. I was like sniffling. Oh my God, I took an Uber the other day and the fucking driver was like coughing the whole fucking way to Huntington and trying to be like, no, I just have some in my throat. I'm like, right. Can you put all the windows down, please?
No,
like,
make sure to put the windows up, crank up the heater and put it on recirc. Let's make sure we get those germs circulating around.
Make sure
around.
You give me some of what you got.
Right, God.
What else you drive recently, Kurt?
Man, I've driven a lot of stuff this year. Has been good.
You sent me a list.
Yeah, like, I was like, you take your pick, like, of what we want to talk about.
What did you drive recently? And you sent me like a fucking
everything
word vomit
good.
List.
Yeah, okay. There's been some good shit.
Oh wait, did you drive the E53?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Is the inline engine very good?
It's good. And the interesting thing is, too, is that it's that they call EQ power. It's that 48-volt alternator setup they've got hung off the back of it.
And what does that do?
And it's basically like a torque fill.
Oh.
It's like a hybrid, you know, spin-up, but instead of it being a bunch of batteries, it's right off the flywheel, basically.
Oh. So it just makes it so there's no lag in the turbos?
No. Just if you want torque, it's got torque.
Hmm.
It just gives you, and I think it's something... I think this has like 400 newton meters, so what, like 180 pound feet?
I don't know what fucking 400 newton meters
I had to
means.
Do the math, man. I'm not Hold kidding. I don't memorize that stuff as well as I used
what
to.
What is 400 newton meters in pound feet?
Siri knows.
Come on, fucking Siri. Let's go.
Oh, 290, yeah. So
295.
Oh, maybe it wasn't that many then, because I remember being like in the 180 range. But either way, an extra 180 pound-feet of torque with no rev. Like,
what
it's
is
just...
that super clean CRX
so
about?
So this thing, so I just reviewed this thing recently. There's a guy who's the service manager at First Texas Honda in Austin. This guy found this thing under a tree in the hill country in Texas and dumped, let's say, more than 10 grand into restoring this thing.
Is it an SI?
No, it's a DX. That's the funniest part. It's so cool.
You spent 10 grand. It's not even a fucking SI.
No, he had an attachment to it. He wanted that car. I guess, you know, there's a lot of guys, and I've had three different generations of SIs. I had, my first car was an 88. And, you know, there's sentimental guys out there that love restoring their old Honda. They're like, I want to go find that car I wanted in high school, and I found it. And so he found it, and he...
It, that's how I ended
clean.
Up with a fucking Fox body.
Yeah, that's
which
yeah.
is now going for sale on Bring a Trailer.
But this thing went, I mean, he restored it back to damn stock. There's a couple things on it that are from other markets, like the steering wheel. It's the louvers on the back were from other markets, for like
one like the
UK.
JDM, yo?
No, the craziest part. So he did, I think it was New Zealand steering wheel or UK steering wheel, and I think New Zealand louvers on the back of it. There's something crazy like that, but
it
works.
From New Zealand is good.
Yeah.
Have you been down there yet?
Toyotas. No.
That's the spot.
New I want to just go down there and hang out in like FJ heaven, basically.
New Zealand is the spot, dude. All engine swaps are legal.
Oh,
you know, it's like basically a dumping ground for great Japanese stuff.
You need to like get a bunch of Miatas and just go stupid with them.
Dude, you could buy an Evo 5 on the side of the road for like $5,000.
That's insane.
Like, seriously, like that shit is all over the place.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I never...
So that car on the right there, that's, we
Open
should talk about
car?
That.
Yo, you drive that fucking
So
thing?
I drove, yeah, it's an F4 car.
Ooh.
Coda has a
How'd
school now. They have a, they call it Formula Americas, so it was badass.
Really?
So
what's the motor?
So the F4 cars that run in the F4 series right now use Hondas.
Mm-hmm.
This thing has a Ford EcoBoost, like a 1.5 turbo, and that fucker's fast. And the only drawback for me was when I shot some video in it, they were doing some lead follow in it with like an R8 leading because they've got an Audi school there too. And it wasn't a bunch of racing guys. Like, I got signed up for a day where it was a bunch of just amateurs doing it. And we were getting stuck behind people. But, man, when I basically let a guy go for a while so I could stomp on it a little bit more. Dude, those things are quick. They got a ton of grip.
They
are fast. I mean, you're probably
talking... Did they have you on slicks or they had you
slicks?
On street tires?
No, slicks.
They did?
Yeah, and they're probably... I would say that's probably a 210, 212 car around Coda.
I wish I knew what that meant.
That's fast. Like a P1. P1's a 217 out there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So...
Crazy. Are you comfortable with downforce?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some single seat experience, like, so it was
what
fun.
What do you get for $650?
Like a couple, like, I think 30-minute sessions, or no, a couple of 15-minute sessions they added up, and then they do some sim time. They do, but yeah, you basically, they loan you all the fire suit, helmet, yeah, everything you need. You just show up. Just show up sober and put some shoes on and go. Like, they'll give you fireproofs, everything.
Do they have one for fat people? Or tall people?
You can be, I think you can be 6'2 and 220 something. Oh, I think what,
that excludes
no,
me.
Yeah, I mean, I forget what the sizing was like, and I'm not small. And width wise, I was a little tight in there. But I mean, you know, an F4 car is made for kids. That's a, that's the what they get juniors in to get
training.
Oh, that's
like what 16 year olds race?
Yeah, it's a feeder series, basically. Like, or, you know, even younger than that, like 12 and 13 year olds are in those things. You start getting to the 16 range, you're probably in an F3 car.
I need fucking.
Or TB2.
I need, like, you know, body work and shit.
Right? Yeah, I don't care anymore. I'm fat.
I just, I you know, I love fucking GT race cars. Like, I really do, but right. I just don't feel safe in open wheel shit.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for that fucking crash where the wheel comes off and hits me right. in the head, you know? Some.
Yeah.
I'm
perfectly happy.
That.
You put me in, like, a 911 cup car. I'm
yeah.
great. I'm at
yeah,
home there. I'm
yeah.
good.
No
that's,
problem.
That's where I'm happy.
All day.
Yeah, I've got stuff around me. I know yeah. the chassis really well. I'm yeah. good to go. I hadn't driven an open wheel car in a while.
A little sketchy.
That was, I mean, yeah, it's, you definitely need to put some heat in the tires. I learned that really, and it was in the summer when I did this. This is back in, I think, August. And, you know, when they're cold, but by the time you get about 6-7 turns into Coda,
yeah,
you've got
yeah.
some heat. There's, you know, the S turns there that'll put some heat in pretty quick.
One of these days, I'm going to find an actual gig to drive Coda. I never have.
Man, I drive it a lot. I mean,
it's your
backyard.
Local spot.
Yeah, I get instructed out there a lot. I get a lot of, you know, there's plenty of junkets that happen out there, and then we do a lot of experience days out there. So
I would like to drive it. I just, you know, I'm not going to spend my own money to do it.
Yeah, and they just scraped it recently. Earlier this year, they did a little, you know, diamond scrape on it to kind of get some of the bumps out of it.
Was it bumpy?
Yeah, I mean, so...
Or just had developed that way over
well,
from the racing?
Well, F1 tracks, they have this grading process they go through where it's like this 4-stage, different, you know, materials and mm-hmm. compounds, and then they work up to the tarmac, and that basically is supposed to help, you know, eliminate any problems you might have with the earth shifting around it. Well, the problem right. is that in Texas...
Because in F1 tracks, they add a lot of extra rubber.
Yeah,
right?
they do
it's
a lot.
More rubber
yeah.
than normal
There's,
in the
especially
track,
especially
in
the
right?
top level.
Yeah.
But the thing is that out on that side of, you know, Austin... It's just nothing but clay out there. It's all caliche. It's just 500 feet deep, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, that shit's expansion. It's you know, it heats, it contracts, it moves, it, you're going to get bumps. And so
how long
I think
has Coda been open? 5-6 years?
2012 was the first year.
Six years.
And it was
yeah,
November
yeah.
2012 they were in the first okay. race there. So it's, yeah. and it's going to get repaved, I guess, in the next year. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I drive it all the time. So every time somebody's out here, you know, playing on the track, and it comes out, and they're like, oh, hey, let's, you know, what's new? What's bumpy? I was like, well, this is a little different. They've shaved this recently, or have done this, you know, and so there's a lot to learn around that track.
Is there another, are there any other good tracks in that area? I mean, MSR Houston is okay, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of club tracks. You've got the driveway.
I don't know
in
that
East Austin.
One.
It's
the
another
driveway?
Little, it's like another club track.
Is it like a Harris Hill, but?
It's a little bigger, except they've got some interesting programs about,
can you
like,
pull
they
up
do,
the
they
driveway,
do a lot of time, they do a lot of time attack out there too, though, at driveway.
I want to see what that's like. Harris Hill, I love the idea of, but it's so bumpy, it's yep. like undrivable. And what's that other one that I went to in Austin that's so bumpy, it was undrivable? What the fuck is that other one
that
called?
Might have
Eagle,
been right.
Eagle,
oh,
Canyon?
Oh, no, that's way out of Austin. That's
where's
out,
that?
That's way out of
Houston?
Town. That's, you know,
Dallas?
That's more like northwest of town. It's up there a bit.
Is that literally it?
No, that's something else.
No, that's someone's, that is someone's
that's
racetrack that's a driveway.
Yeah, somebody's actual driveway.
Oh, wait, is that it?
No.
No.
You'll know it when you see it. It's what they've done at driveway is there's a lot of turns that they've simulated from other tracks.
No, that's
including
not
including their own little corkscrew.
It's called the driveway
yeah.
racetrack.
Yeah, just say
Austin.
The driveway Austin.
Yeah.
But that's another one of those club tracks. But on theirs, if you're going out for like time attacks, they do a lot of that there. Yeah, that third picture over that's it. But they've got different sections, and you have to take different courses with their instructors to get access to more parts of the track, which pros and cons. Like,
seems small. That looks small from above.
Their GP circuit's like 3-1.
Oh, okay.
There's like L levels, like L1, L2.
I like what looks to be that sort of tree-lined section going
yeah, in the
back.
Yeah, that's the GP course.
Yeah, okay.
And then you can kind of tell on the middle third of it there where that's their little corkscrew.
The part... Where's it? Oh, right there. Yeah. Oh, neat.
Yep. They've got
their
own little...
Is there elevation there?
Yeah. Oh, it's not as excellent. Much as Laguna Seca, but I mean, in Austin in general, you get a good, pretty good amount.
Well,
like, Coda's got a
what
ton.
Is as much as Laguna Seca? I mean, there's very few tracks that have a hill like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, Coda's got 130 feet or something like that on the first turn, but.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, that's
like 500 feet around the track of change around there, but that's Coda.
But it's
a 3.5 mile track.
Yeah, it's a big track. Yeah. Laguna's like driving off a cliff. Yep. The only one I've seen that's like that is in, have you ever been to Germany? Bilsterberg?
No.
Bilsterberg is hysterical. It's like a fucking roller coaster track.
Nice.
Imagine a Laguna Seca corkscrew, but once you drive off the wall, instead of continuing down the hill, you hit a massive G thing and go back up that same hill.
That's going to be fun.
It's pretty fucking rad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bilsterberg, it's really fun.
Huh.
That's fucking cool, though. I got to find a reason to come to COTA.
Yeah. There's so many. They do so many press drives out there. And then everybody does, like, AMG Academy has a thing. BMW M does track days there. You know, there's plenty of ones that go out there, and it's customer sorts of events as well as press ones. They'll do it. But those guys will take over a track for a week. So you'll have guests that come out from media, you know, that get to play it for a day or as well. But
I would
it's
be
fun.
Disappointed if it wasn't like a real experience.
Yeah, I love that track, man. Those guys, they keep that thing busy all the time. We get asked
about
it often.
Well, they have to, don't they? I mean, they don't have a choice. The thing's got to cost a fucking fortune.
Well, it's privately
run.
Funded, though. That helps. At least they're not playing with state money. Yeah, they had their own backing on it. They had a fund. But the thing is, though, is that track, I mean, I'm out there all the time. I get to drive it all out. I get to shoot a ton out there. And I mean, that thing, their biz dev team, and they've got something going on, because there's teams that test out there all the time. Manufacturers take over for like 2 weeks at a time. So there's always something going on.
Someone's manning the phones.
Hell yeah, no shit. Yeah. They're definitely keeping busy, which is cool.
They're keeping busy at Thermal. I've seen so many people have been talking about shit going on at Thermal. They must really be pushing it, but they eliminated free journalist time at Thermal.
Duh.
They pretty much told us all to kick rocks, which is unfortunate. I really enjoyed
That's when you know a track's getting busy enough, is when they're not giving away time to people that will plug them.
Right?
They're like, no, we don't have to give away time anymore. We have people giving us money for that.
I know. It's so unfortunate. Now if I want like really free track time, I have to fly to fucking New York and run Monticello. Thank you, Monticello. I love you.
Yeah, I still have driven that track.
Monticello is spectacular.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because they let me drive it for free.
Right.
That track is absolutely spectacular. It's like, it's almost like a VIR.
Cool.
In a lot of ways, somewhere between a VIR and a Watkins Glen.
Yeah.
VIR
is one of my favorite tracks I've ever driven. That
VIR is
so
spectacular. It's what a great place to do fucking anything. Although, I'll tell you what you don't want to do there, race at night.
No, there's no way in hell you get me to race at night.
I raced at night there in a chump car race, and the E30 we were driving had them cheap fucking Chinese LED bullshit lights. I've never had a scarier 2 hours of driving ever. I mean, I couldn't.
And then get a little humidity in there and start rolling in some fog at the same time. You're like, I can't see shit for the next 3 hours.
I finished my stint, but after that, I was like, nope, never again. Never again.
No, sounds good.
Yeah, it was crazy. Let's get to some of these questions. If you're with us live, now is the time to jump in the Super Chat and ask us some shit, and we'll get to it by the end of the show. Is that the top, Tim?
That's the top.
Landon says, oh, did I cross the double yellow in the sim? That's the good thing about driving Assetto Corsa, the Canyons. One, you can do it drunk. Two, you can cross the double yellow. What's actually really funny, it's a funny he brought that question up, because the first time I did it, I didn't cross the double yellow. And my friend Nick is watching me as I'm driving this thing in a McLaren F1, sipping a tequila and soda, and he goes, you know, you're in a game. You know, there's no oncoming.
Yep.
And I go, man, my brain is programmed to stay. And he goes, trial lap.
Yeah, but if you're crossing into the double yellows on the sim, does it have like where the little markers are for the reflectors? You get, like, does it start upsetting?
No,
the balance,
they do. I gotta call up the Phoenix and be like, you need to put the bots dots.
That's the problem. That's another big reason why you don't want to cross double yellows on ACH, because that shit just upsets the suspension so badly.
I was so happy when they put those there. I was so
fucking good reminder.
Stoked. Dude, what it really does is it keeps motorcycles from doing it, because it really fucks them up.
Yep.
People with cars are going to do what the fuck they want, but it made me happy that they're there.
Yeah, there were a couple guys out today. There were some sport bikes out there that were definitely hugging it. And you're like, dude, I'm coming around these corners going.
Even if you're on your side, if their wheels are on their side, but they're leaned down, their knee could be dragging
Could be
on your side.
It.
I mean, I have no problem with sport bikes doing sport bike things.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
it's just smart.
You got to fucking stay on your side. You know,
bikes out there are fine. Cyclists out there are another challenge. That's just suicidal.
You know,
there's nowhere to go.
I try and give them as much room as I can.
I do, yeah, I'll give
you
room.
You know,
but,
and I
respectful.
Have a lot of respect if you climb that mountain on a bicycle. A ton.
That's a lot of elevation
change.
A ton.
I just say, if you're a cyclist, do everything you can to make yourself visible.
Yeah.
Because
there were guys that were wearing all black on a black bike today.
Yeah.
There were a couple of dudes I came across that were wearing high-vis, though. I was like, thank you. You're the guys we like.
Just do me a favor. I'm happy to share the road with you. I really am. I'll slow down. I'll move over when I see you. Just make yourself visible.
Yeah, I'm not setting any records out there. No. I'm definitely going to get out of your way and do it. But on some of those, you come up on them and you're going into a corner and you can't see around it. And you're like, oh, shit. I'll slam down the brakes. I'll make sure to not hit them, you know, and cross over. But
just be visible and I'll do my best to not hit you.
Right.
Thank you, Landon. Already tax the middle class, says, longtime fan, I have a dilemma. Buy two junkyard cars to make one. And the two cars are a BMW 1 Series and an E92 M3. Or buy a whole E90-something M3, 80% street. Now, I drove a 1M with a V8 in it. That dude Marco's car.
Which V8, though?
The M3 V8.
It was an M3 V8. Yeah, so it was an E90?
With an S62.
Hell yeah.
So I drove it twice. Once it had the regular engine, and then they put the Dynan Stroker one in it, right. So the 4.6. Is the 1M V8 that much better? Yes. It is. However, I just think before you get into a project like that, you should really think about what it's going to take to make those things work.
It's a lot of man hours.
It's a lot of electrical engineering as well. It's not a plug-and-play thing.
Right.
And I think when Performance Technic did it, they used M3 subframes. They used a complete M3 driveline, including the differential. They used an M3 wiring harness. Like, you needed a lot. There was more to it than just putting the engine in. So,
right.
I don't know how fucking talented this dude is as an engineer, but just be advised of what really went into that versus buying something that's pretty much ready to drive right now.
Right.
But look, if you do it and you actually, it costs Marco, who owned the car, it cost him like $150,000 to make that work.
Damn.
And
with a shop at your disposal.
With a shop.
Right.
And so, you know, just be aware of what you're getting into, because I'd hate to see you start with two cars and end up with a half a car.
Instead of a whole car. You're going to have two incomplete cars. Hope the guy's not married. Is he married? That's the really dangerous question.
Yeah, your wife will leave you, and then you start with two cars, and then you lose half your net worth.
Right, yeah.
Justin, thank you as always. Justin Clark fucking gives us, he basically pays our rent here.
Nice.
So thank you, Justin. We got to the thing about the Mustang before. Jack says, I'm curious what you think of VW Westphalias and the market for them. My family has had one since 91 when my granddad picked it up new. My dream is to put a WRX motor in it. Westphalia, for those who don't know, would be the camper version of the Vanagon, which is the boxy 80s version of the van. Actually, I'm going to defer to Timmy on the Westphalia question. What do you think, Timmy? He's an expert in Volkswagen vans and off-roading and camping.
I love them. The Synchro is the best one, of course. And I haven't looked at the prices for about 6 months, but they were stupid. They were
through the roof.
Yes,
yeah, right?
60, 80, 100 grand
for a Synchro. I don't know. You think are all Westies Synchros though? No, right?
No. Okay. Not at all. Synchros are rare. Yeah.
So if you have a Synchro by any chance, and your granddad has bought it new, and it's in good shape, it's probably worth a lot of money.
But keep any of them. In my opinion, put the South African grill on it, the round headlights instead of the square.
Oh, you make them look a little...
Yeah, that looks
Can you
super
get a picture
cool.
of what that looks like? The South African market Westphalia? Because I don't know if I could see one. I don't know. Westies are really popular. Like, 80s Vanagons are coming up. I see a lot of them in California. They're much more drivable than old school microbus.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. That looks great.
That's a cool
German spec. That looks nice, man. That's got good wheels on it, too. It's the right color.
Yeah.
These things are fucking hot in Cali right now. And unlike a microbus, they don't drive like horrible.
Right.
But they're slow as shit. That's why everybody puts Subaru motors
in. Yeah, I was going to say, everyone I've seen, it's always got a WRX swap in those.
Is that an easy swap? A WRX motor?
I don't know what the details are, but I it's very, very
like
common.
It's another
so it
flat four.
It can't be,
four.
Yeah, it can't be exactly. that hard, right?
Four yeah, I mean, and drop it out the bottom. Who knows?
Yeah. Right, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Dude, I think if
we
you,
see that next thing you know, your comments just start filling up with all these guys that are West Valley builders who go, fuck you guys, this is really hard.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I don't know if it's hard, but like, I mean, if you, I think those, they probably will last quite a while, right? And if you if you've got one. And you want to put a WRX motor in, keep your grandpa's car going, fucking go for it.
And there's still nothing quite like it that's about that size that serves as a camper van.
Right. Right. And there's a fixed number of them. They're not making any more.
Right.
The later transporter front wheel drive thing is different. This is still a rear engine car. Yeah. You know, like there's always going to be a market for it. So I don't think the values of them are going to fall off a cliff. So if you've got one and you can make it something you want to drive and keep it going, then yeah, fucking do it.
Especially when it's in the family. Like, dude, keep
that
thing around
in the
for
family,
a while.
Keep it in the family. Hell yeah. Thanks, Jack. Blakesley says, take my Safari 911 on All Cars Go to Heaven 3. That's not the point of All Cars Go to Heaven.
Right. It's supposed to be a sled to begin with.
All Cars Go to Heaven is the end of the line for a car. Right. And if I treat my fucking Safari, I'm going to, with Lee Keen, my car's going to be done in 3 weeks. Lee just texted me.
Nice.
Car's basically done, but he wants to drive it for a couple weeks to anything goes wrong. And I'm like, please, just, I don't want to have any problems when it gets home. So, we're going to, you know, he did that amazing. Can you get, pull up Lee's Instagram? Lehmanck, Lehmanck, right there. He's got pictures. They did an amazing spread of this, this ridiculously beautiful, all Safari off-road adventure. And it's a 28-page spread in 000 magazine.
Look at that shot. That's a good shot.
Yeah. Mm. And this is all in North Carolina by Lee's house. This is so dope.
Mm.
All these safaris just off-roading together. I love this. And so the next one of these he does, I'm 100% going on.
Hell yeah.
And he's building like five in a row cars for the West Coast.
That's cool.
Including mine. Mine is the second. There's one in like Reno. There's one in San Francisco, mine, and then there's going to be two more coming, and we're going to put together a West Coast Safari rally.
Hell yeah.
And so it won't be All Cars Go to Heaven, but there will be off-roading. Look at that picture, that middle one up top.
Yeah, that fog.
The fog, the rays through the fog. I want to do it. If Hannah doesn't come with me, which she may or may not, if Hannah doesn't come with me on the Safari adventure, I'm inviting Larry Chen.
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, honestly, wait till
you want to shoot anything in the dirt, that guy's gonna be your guy.
Dude, wait till you see my Bring a Trailer ad. It's all fucking Larry Chen. Yeah. I asked him if he could use the speed hunters pictures for the photo. He's
nice.
Like, yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
So it's all gonna be Larry Chen shot. Bring a Trailer.
I'm waiting for that email to come to me. And somebody's just like, I want to just like sell my car and bring a trailer. Come shoot it for me. And I'm like, what are you trying to sell? It'll be like, I want somebody to send me something ridiculous request. It'll be like, I'm selling a '95 Civic EX.
Yeah.
You're like, I'll make
with like the
badass.
Most beautiful studio right. shots. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But thank you, Blakesley. Oh, he had another one.
So what about All Cars Go to Heaven 3? Just period.
The problem with All Cars Go to Heaven 3 is all of us are too busy to take 2 weeks off to go work for no money.
Mm-hmm.
All car the idea of taking a shitbox and going off-road is great. It's when you try to turn it into a movie
right.
that it becomes actual work.
Yep.
And it doesn't make enough money that it was worth it.
It's a huge amount of time to be gone.
It's a huge amount of time to be.
And all the post.
Yeah, and like the first two movies, like the four people, five because Timmy came on the second one, but the four people are the cast and the film crew.
Right.
And so to really do it, you need a cast of four and then a film crew. So now you're talking about paying other people.
Right.
And then then paying other people while working for 2 weeks and not being paid. And so it's fun, but like frankly, I'll just do it without the cameras and it'll cost me like
Instagram
fucking $8. You know what I mean? Nothing about that trip was expensive except turning it into a movie. Everything else about it was stupid cheap. But
fun.
Yeah, thanks, Blakesley. Oh, also, $45,000 V8 Vantage stick. Wait.
They need some commas in there. I think it's our problem. We're missing commas.
Oh my God. There's too many. Okay. A V8 Vantage with a stick and a lease, a supercharged 997S, S550. Oh, that's a Mustang. 03 Viper, R32 GTR, VIN design. These are like all over the fucking world. For weekend fun, I'm a good wrench, live in Northeast Connecticut, 3 tracks within an hour. Wow.
Is that a pitch?
I don't know. Like, these are all, the problem is, a sports car is an emotional purchase. Right, you have to connect with that car. Yeah. Like what this person is not asking is, what's the fastest around the racetrack or whatever. Like all these cars are so all over the place. He's got a GT car, a go kart, a modified 911, a supercharged Mustang, a Viper, a Skyline, or an old 911. These cars are completely different feeling cars.
Yeah,
there isn't even anything like. Like, there's some good values in there. Like, yeah, an 03 Viper, that's a lot of car for the money. A $45,000 V8 Vantage, it's a lot of car for the money. A 997S is a good car for the money. Like, an R32 GTR, not for the track, but a fun car for the money.
Yeah, it'd be cool as hell to own.
Be cool as hell to own, right?
Because
a vintage 911, that's expensive.
Yeah, I was going to say, which vintage?
Yeah, I mean...
How many hundreds of thousands of dollars would you like to separate with?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like... Right now, obviously, Porsches are really expensive in general. So they're expensive to maintain, they're expensive to own, but they're fun.
Especially if they're air-cooled.
And they feel great. Vipers are dirty cheap to own and are dirty cheap to buy for the amount of performance you get.
That red one that's over here finally go away?
Oh, no, it's around. The one with like 200K on it?
That old first-gen
RT. Fucking ratty thing. I see that thing all the time.
That thing's definitely cheap to him because not a dime has been spent on it.
No, he did. No, he. Last time I saw it, he recovered the seats. He's spending some money.
Went to Pep Boys and put some covers on it?
No. He actually recovered the seats. That probably cost a lot, actually.
Right. That's probably the most expensive thing he's done to that car.
Yeah. Supercharged Mustang, no, definitely not, because an aftermarket supercharger overwhelms the Mustang GT platform.
Yep.
Having
just driven one recently, yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, for tracks, I say Viper, right? Or 997S.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, that's the thing. They're a completely different driving style. Like, I've driven some tuned-up 997s. Yeah. I mean, I had an X51 mm-hmm. years ago, and they're a blast. You know, it just what kind of balance are you going for? Do you want a car that's point and shoot?
Yeah.
You know, where as soon as you exit out of a corner, you blow by everybody, but then you're getting danced on different tracks. You know,
Connecticut, he's talking
tracks.
About Lime Rock,
yeah,
Monticello. About,
yeah, out there, a Viper's going to be a pretty good time.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's that for that money, that's a pretty
Vipers
good...
Vipers are pretty fucking bulletproof. Like, most people I know who have Vipers and get rid of them get rid of them because they don't find them interesting enough over time.
Right.
You know, they almost work too good. Like,
yeah, but an 03, like, you know, an 03 GTS, that's, I mean, a good, that's
yeah,
a good car.
It's a good car. A lot of car
and
for the money.
You can, your consumables are going to get expensive. It's got big wheels on
big
it.
Big tires.
It's real wide tires.
Yeah. It'll go through tires.
But, you know, that's having a track day car.
Yeah.
You're going to go through consumables with anything you got.
Yeah.
It doesn't anything modern, anything newer than that anyway. They're going to have 20s on them anyway. It's like shit for the 991. I've got.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to be at the track.
$600 a tire anyway.
Totally. If you're going to be at the track, I'd eliminate the Vantage, the Elise, the supercharged Mustang, the GTR, and the Vintage 911, which leaves the Viper and the 997S.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
I wouldn't track a 964 anyway.
My friend Larry's got one, and he's put fucking God knows how much into it, only to end up with a car that's like, kind of quick.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's, you know what
it's
I mean?
A canyon car. You know? Like,
no, I think it's got a great feel to it, but like on a track, like a big fast track, it's just not that fast.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And you can buy a lot of
250 horsepower, you know?
Yeah, you can buy a lot of factory performance now. You know, air cooled Porsche horsepower has horrible value for money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just
yeah,
look at your friends at Gunther Works.
Right, no kidding. Yeah, I love that car, but you look at the price point of what you have to do just to get that motor.
Oh, my God.
Like, holy crap. The guys are like, why are they so expensive? You're like, because of the motor.
The Vipe, car's got like a $150,000 engine.
Yeah, just the engine. And all that carbon body.
Yeah.
I mean, I love what those guys do. I mean, everybody asked me that thing. They were like, all right, what's the difference between, you know, what do you think between that and the Singer? And I was like,
different.
What Singer are doing an entirely different thing, and what Gunther Works, they have both totally different schools of thought. They both are doing their own take on something. And
they're both
really
cool.
And I love that they're both, you know, wildly great amount of detail put into the cars, tons of effort going into it. They both drive amazingly well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, somebody asked me about that.
You know, 430 horsepower, air-cooled Porsche.
A lot of motor.
It's a $150,000 engine.
Yep.
Or you can get a junkyard LS.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Man,
I know they're not the same, but
There's got to be a good marketplace now for guys that'll go buy, you know, 930s and 964s and just start doing something stupid. When they're like, hey, I made this subframe for this. We can start doing crazy LS swaps and wild shit with it. Like, there's got to be some dude
that
in a shed.
Renegade Hybrids.
Yeah, that's true.
Renegade Hybrids does it. And then, you know, our friend Busy, Busy Moto is, he is doing twin turbo kits for like base Boxsters, which is kind of interesting.
That's hilarious. What, like the old
2.5? The old ones. Yeah, 2.7s and shit. Yeah. I don't know why, but he loves that shit.
Let's take a car that's got 190 horsepower and give it 240.
He likes anything that starts out shitty.
Right.
He's any challenge that guy can take.
Take an NA Miata kind of power plant.
For sure. Let's see. Add-in, I think it's add-in, says, what is the better driver's car, a BMW E30 with a dialed suspension and an S54 swap or a stock 135i?
Easy one.
I mean, yeah, easy one. Kurt, you want to take this?
Dude, E30, by the way, easily.
Yeah, E30 with an
S50. One of the best chassis.
Yeah, with an S54 and a 6-speed is going to be a nasty motherfucker.
Yeah, a friend of mine's got an E30 wagon. It's a Euro. It's a friend of mine's got, he's one of my air-cooled buddies that's out in Austin. He did a swap on it. So I think this is an S52.
Yeah, still great.
But yeah, I mean, shit, that's still a great motor.
It's a bunch.
And it's got a ton of work done to it. Yeah. I mean, it's a monster.
I drove
that
an
E30 chassis is perfect.
With an S54, a 6-speed, and an M3 differential in it, and
it's
it
brilliant.
Was rad.
Yeah, those cars are perfect.
Now, I have a friend, Alex Bernstein. You know Alex Bernstein?
Mm-mm.
He's a shooter. He does a lot for like European cars, stuff like that. And he's got a modded 135 that's fucking fast. I mean, really fast. And 135s are really undervalued right now. Like,
yeah, don't say that too loud.
Yeah, like, I think he paid $12,000 for the car.
Damn.
Like, nobody wants them. Everyone's looking at 335s. No one's looking at 135s.
The 1 Series is so good if you don't give a shit about a backseat.
Right.
It's the shorter wheelbase. Yeah. It's a really nimble little car. Yeah. A couple of guys I instruct with have them. They love the hell out of it. Like, a 1 Series is such a good car.
Yeah. So the question is, you know, do you want air conditioning and airbags?
Right. Yeah. You know? I was going to say, do you want air conditioning?
That's
I live
start.
In Texas. That's an easy starting point.
Yeah. But thank you, Adam. Chris says, I have a 2014 E63S. Good choice. And I've been tempted to get a Rentec tune. Nothing crazy. But then I think, does this car really need more power? What do you think? Enjoy as is or more power? I think Rentec has an excellent reputation. I think their cars are not known for going boom. Hartmut at Rentec is a great friend, and he was one of the original AMG engineers in the U.S. assembling those motors. I don't see any reason not to get the Rentec tune, frankly. I mean, I don't think you need to do big turbos.
Right.
You know, you don't need to build a drag car, but tune is really nice in that car.
It's usable. That's the important part.
Usable, you know? Runs on pump gas, doesn't really have a lot of downsides. I mean, I don't think it's a cheap tune. I think it's like $1,000. But you're talking AMG, and there's a lot of power on the table in that car. So I say get it. I think there's not a downside, really. Thank you, Chris. Zach says, I live in Denver, and I'm so bored of my Subaru. I'm thinking an NA Miata with snow tires. I don't need the space of the Subaru. I've driven rear-wheel drive cars with snow tires, so I'm not afraid of it. I can't recommend an NA Miata in Denver.
As your winter beater, I'm guessing that's what he's asking?
I
like,
be
as
fucking
a winter
freezing.
Beater, I was like, it's not really the problem about being rear-wheel drive and just having the right tires on there. It's there's no
the
fucking
insulation on that car.
Even if you
terrible.
Get the hard top snapped onto that thing,
fuck
it's still freezing
that.
Cold inside one. I had one of those suckers.
No.
That's not a fun car to drive in the winter.
I mean, if what you want
that's
is a rear-wheel
Texas.
Drive winter beater, get an FRS. You know what I mean? An FRS is the same amount of fun as a Miata.
Yep.
And
underpowered and rear-wheel drive.
Yeah, but it has fucking seals.
Yeah, right, yeah. It has insulation.
Yeah.
It's modern insulation. You're talking about the difference between a 20-year-old car and a reasonably recent couple of years ago car. Yeah, 20-year-old everything seals are going to be leaking all sorts of air everywhere.
Dude, a couple years ago, Zach had an NA Miata here in California, and in the winter, it was freezing.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that. I would say no. Get an FRS or get, you know, you talked about an SC400. There's a lot of rear-wheel drive cars. But NA Miatas suck in their fucking at their best.
Yep.
You know?
Yep,
especially
you want to learn how to drive on track. Get
5,000 fucking feet, dude.
Right, yeah.
Imagine 5,000 feet in a Miata. Get 40 horsepower. Get the fuck out of here. Please.
Could be trying to teach a kid how to drive on it. You never
thank
know.
Thank you, Zach. John says, I don't have a question, but. Oh, well, thank you. I will have a beer on you, John. Thank you very much. Amin says, have I driven the new M2 comp yet? No, I have not. Have you?
No, not yet.
I drove the regular M2.
Yeah.
It was nice, a little too stiff. From what I've heard, the M2 comp, even stiffer. That's what my friends have told me, but I haven't driven one.
I'm a big fan of the M2 in general.
I am as
everything
well.
About like I gotta go beg our fleet guy to get a hold of one of those things.
M2s are awesome until you drive on super bumpy roads. I drove one from Chicago to Gingerman and then did track and shit in Gingerman and then back to Chicago. Around Gingerman and on the track, spectacular.
Yeah,
the best. Across Chicago,
potholes and M2s don't get along really
well. Yeah, it was
but other
rough.
Than that, I mean, it's a hell of a car for that money.
Totally. Great car. Yeah. Looks great, comfortable, a lot of fun, but the comp is even stiffer, so if you live somewhere with roads that suck, you may have a problem there.
Yep.
I recommend the regular one for that, or something with
especially
the
engine, for the money that they charge for that comp package. Man,
what do they charge? Is it a ton?
It's like 20 grand or something
crazy
like that.
Holy fuck,
I don't
really?
Remember exactly.
Is it a $70,000 car with that?
I think it's close to that, man.
Yeah, look, that seems like a lot. Yeah. I like that car. 50 to 55 grand is where I really like that car.
Or maybe that was the dealer that was pricing it that way.
Yeah, ADM. Right, sounds like it. Faceyo says, turn Instagram comments back on and don't read. No. You know what? I fucking am so happy not having Instagram comments.
Yeah.
When you allow something into your life, it should either make you happy or make you money. These are the two things.
Yep.
If it doesn't do one of those things, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Instagram comments do nothing for me but make me angry. And you can't lose weight with a fucking freezer full of ice cream.
Right.
So I use self-control at the store, and I don't buy fucking ice cream. That's how I lose weight. I don't see why people should be able to have comments on my Instagram. It serves me zero.
No.
So they stay off. Thank you, Faceyo. David says, is there any CVT transmission car that you haven't hated? No.
You had to think hard about that.
I did try to think. Like, I had to think. No. I hate them all.
Yeah, they're all terrible.
I understand why they exist, but they don't do anything for me.
And everybody's using them now. Like, in every mid-level sort of car now, everything, you know, Accords, Maximas, Altimas, you name it, everything that's like a car your mom would drive.
Yeah.
They all use them because they love them. It's so smooth. It's so simple. You're like, but drivers hate them. Stop
They're smooth
this.
When you only ever use a quarter throttle and you're driving in the city.
Yeah, as soon as you want to put the gas into it.
Forget it. No, I'm sorry, David. Everyone I've ever driven, I've hated. Yeah. Sorry. Lucas says, 1 month into this business, assuming you mean the car writing business. Yeah, 135i.
Is he saying Fiesta ST? Is that what he's asking?
I think that is a Fiesta ST. Is that what? That's a good choice.
For 10 grand, man, if you find a clean Fiesta ST out there, I can't say enough good things about those. I haven't owned one yet, but...
Yeah. Well, you're not an automotive journalist if you haven't owned one.
Right. No
I think
kidding.
We've all owned one.
Right?
I mean, those are... $1,000. That'd be fucking fun,
man,
too.
Man, I had a 2000 model, and I went stupid. This is back when I had that problem of like reading too much sport compact car, and I dumped a lot of money into one and built the motor and
you know it's nice
the piss
a
out
stock
of it.
One
and I miss a stock one.
Yeah, stock one.
I drove a guy that had one in Austin, and somebody else bought another. I had a 98 Type R and the Tiger Type R a long time ago. And a buddy of mine, he's a huge fan of those. He found a 96 Civic Type R and imported it. Don't want to talk about how, but he also got a 98 Type R. And a friend of ours also had another 2000 Civic Si, and I drove that thing. I was like, this is just perfect. It doesn't have enough power. Like, it weighs nothing by comparison.
Yeah.
Like, those old VTEC motors, that things out there and go get it, do a timing belt job on it, make sure all the rubber's in good shape, and go buy one of those fuckers instead. Like,
10 to 12,000 is really the sweet spot for a fun JDM car if you're willing to drive on the right side of the car.
Can be.
You can get a lot of really cool shit for that much money if you go JDM.
Yep.
And Detroit has pretty lax rules on that sort of thing.
Nice.
What else we got? Luke says, is the second gen Audi TTRS undervalued? Is that the current one? We're in the second gen?
No, I think we're third now.
We're in the third?
Yeah.
The second gen TTRS was a great car, or the one before we have now. It was a great car and takes mods really well.
Yep.
Are the 1M and 981 came in really better? Yes. TTRS. However, if you want to make huge power, like I drove APR's TTRS that made 600 horsepower.
Yeah, you can get a ton of that five-cylinder.
Yeah, and you don't have to do much. It was like intake exhaust, intercooler, tune, and a turbo upgrade, and it was 600 fucking horsepower, and it flew.
Yeah, the only thing is when you look at one of those cars and you're asking somebody about it that wants to like compare it to a Cayman.
Yeah.
You're like, how much? What do you want to put in the car aside from your body?
Right.
Outside of that, if you need to like travel anywhere with it, you want to put anybody else in the car, you know, then by that point, I'm like, just get a Cayman.
Why? Can you not put things in the TTRS?
I like the way it drives more. I think I just love that mid-engine setup, man. The Cayman's just so fun. It's
Caymans
so
are great. The TTRS to me was...
it's quick, though. It's just heavy.
It's like somewhere between a rally car and a supercar.
Yeah.
Like, especially with a bunch of mods. The new one was very rally car-ish.
Yeah.
And I actually thought the handling was really, really good. I don't know. Is it undervalued? I don't know what they're going for. I haven't looked at the market, so I couldn't tell you what they cost or what they, you know. Also, there's no Audi I would ever want to own with over 50,000 miles on it. Zero. Like, you couldn't fucking give me one because you're just asking for a real expensive problem.
Yeah, having worked in an Audi dealer service department for a while, I will easily say that once you get out of warranty on those suckers.
Yeah, fuck it. No. The 1M is definitely better. The 1M is awesome. Like, there's a reason people put 40,000 miles on those and they're still MSRP.
If you can find one, though.
Yeah, they're tough to find.
There's so few of those things.
A friend of mine just found one that was like, had a bunch of cosmetic damage on it and fucking stole it.
Nice.
Stole it.
That man, until I drove the Cayman GT4 a couple of years ago for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The 1 Series M was my favorite driver's car for many, many years.
They're great.
It's so,
I put 2,200 miles on the press car in a week.
Still, they're fun. You know, like, I drove one, I don't know, earlier this year at some point. A buddy of mine has one.
1Ms feel like they have more engine than chassis, and there's not a lot of cars like that right now.
And it's a parts bin car in theory, right? You look at all that, and you're like, somehow that shit just worked really well.
Yeah, it was really lively. Justin's back at it. How much to sponsor All Cars Go to Heaven 3?
Oh, God, here he goes again.
It was probably like $50,000 to make it, $50,000 to $60,000. You don't want to fucking do that. I don't even want to take your money. But it would probably be like $50,000-$60,000 to do it, in case you're really, really wondering. Montessor says, thoughts on a VVTi SC400 and a
supercharged SC400.
Oh, a supercharged SC400. Yeah. No. This is
why?
Dumb. The SC, you want the 2JZ. That's the thing.
Right, I was going to say, you're doing anything stupid with the motor.
Supercharging a 1UZ is fucking dumb. You don't want to do that. And changing to a 3... No. You get an SC300, and then you can swap to a manual if you want, but the point is the 2JZ is the thing. Yep. The 1UZ is great in the LS, but it's fucking fuck all in the SC. There's no point. There's no point. Don't do that. 2JZ. Willis says, opinion on eBay $2,500 V12 engines. New shooter coming in. New shooter. Good luck, everybody. More specifically, an M120 from a late 90s CL6. Well, what you mean is an S-Class coupe. There's no such thing as a CL600 in the late 90s. I don't know. Can you make one of those fucking work? Who knows? Is that a working engine?
For that kind of money?
Wasn't the problem with those V12s the biodegradable wiring harness?
Right, that's what I was asking. I was like, is there any wiring that goes with that one? Because that shit fell apart of them.
$2,500 sounds like a coffee table.
Right. Maybe it's just a block.
Yeah, I mean, a block, like, I'm certain you couldn't get a working with the wiring harness is going to be the thing there.
Right.
I would say it probably makes a great coffee table. But beyond that, I would say don't bother. I mean... Yeah, I don't see what you'd do with that. What the fuck you do with that? It's huge. Like, you couldn't put it in.
Like, where do you shove that into?
Yeah,
like,
what do you put it into? The,
like, you look at an old SEL from, like, the late 90s.
Huge.
And you're like, where the shit did this go? Because the 5-liter V8 already took up a ton of space.
Yeah.
And then the first time I saw one of those V12s.
Why?
I was like, where the hell did that thing, how did that happen? Like, what did they cut?
Didn't they run two ECUs? Wasn't it one of those?
Something like that.
It was one of those deals. Like,
A lot of heat in there.
A lot of heat and... I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I would say no. Sorry. Will says, looking for a fun Christmas gift for my...
And they're at Coda a bunch. Like, the whole crew is just cool as hell to be around.
Look
at the program that they've got for that school. Like, there's another... Depends on where you're at. There's another rally school in Texas.
I've never heard of them.
They're like half an hour from Coda.
Oh, yeah?
That's a cool school. And they've got a Raptor
Rally
program.
Rally Ready in Texas. Let me take a look. They have a Raptor program? Oh, that's probably
They've got
fun.
All sorts of shit.
That's very Texas.
But, like, I mean, if everybody can do a track day and have a good time doing it, but if you have any human interest at all in going and playing at a rally school, go
get
dirty.
I like that. I like their little intro video here. Pull that shit over. This is
fucking
dope.
They've got a huge amount of land, a ton of different course layouts.
All right.
They've got all sorts of shit to drive there.
The thing about a rally school is I have done a lot of racing schools, and I learned more skills that I could take with me to every other discipline at a rally school.
Absolutely.
Between oversteer, left foot braking, rotating the car under braking, handbrake turns, like, you know, and also sliding a car feels like is exciting. Even if you're only going,
you're going 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, even if you're going no miles an hour, just sliding a car is, this place looks great.
Yeah, I mean, I've instructed for a long time. I've never instructed dirt before, but
I'm a big fan of dirt. This looks awesome.
Yeah, but a lot of the stuff that you learn running a rally course, you want to teach people how to really work with their hands correctly. What you learn in a dirt course will absolutely translate to being good on track.
Totally. I learned so much at rally school that I bring to the track, that I brought to off-roading, that is really, really good.
And it's just a shitload of fun. In a car you can have a little fun with, and you might ding it up a little bit. You might throw some rocks off of something, and you're going to get covered. You're going to be scrubbing dirt out of places you've never thought dirt was imaginable of going into.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the best time doing it.
So
like any rally school you can ever do, whatever's close to you, whatever's within reason, absolutely go jump in that shit.
Yeah, I would say if you're gonna do an experience, what does that say? Half day is 700.
Yep.
What's the one day? 1100.
Yep.
Two days.
2300,
3500 for three. There you go. I would say if you had to choose one, do rally school.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, brah. Let's what we got. We're just the last couple, I think. What do we got? E36 M3 for a first track build. My home track is Laguna Seca, and I want to do something with good modding potential. See a lot of M3s running in endurance racing series.
Yep.
I might suggest going for a spec E46 instead of an E36 M3, maybe. 330 CI, they're really cheap.
Yeah.
And their parts are like normal price parts, not M price parts. They're really quiet, so you're not going to have any problems with sound at Laguna. Yep. So I had a video, if you want to go check it out, I did a video on the track of a spec E46. It was prepped by Turner, and it was awesome. And I really preferred that to the last E36 I drove.
Well, that and the money you spend on them now.
Yeah.
And you can pick up E46s, but especially if you're getting something just like a 325 or a 328.
Yeah.
One of those bodies. Man, those things.
They don't have.
They're a ton of fun.
When they're not an M, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you can have a good amount of performance, especially first track build, not a crazy amount of power.
Right.
Very linear, easy, good balance. I would say start there instead of an E36 M3. But E36 M3s are all right too. And in today's world, they're not so fast that they're going to get away from you.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. MB is Frenchie says, dealer couldn't fix the A-pillar rattle in a 13 Bentley GT Speed twice before the warranty expired. Oh, no. Are they lazy or incompetent? I think that's... I can't be that mean. Wait. Gran Turismo. GT Speed is Bentley or Gran Turismo? Fuck. I don't know.
I think it's Bentley. I mean, GT Speed is one of the, like, the V8 model.
Yeah, Bentley GT Speed, right?
Yeah.
Are they late? I don't know. I would say yes. If the warranty's expired, I would go to a third-party mechanic. And then he adds later, the dash trim came back cracked after Gran Turismo dealer service. What do you think? This dude complains.
Oh, so he is a
this
Maserati.
Dude complains to us about dealers fucking his cars all the time. Every other show, this guy writes us something about something terrible that happened to his cars. I've told him to stop buying Maseratis.
So when I worked,
cause they're junk.
We had a thing and plenty of dealers do it, but we had a opcode you could use when you had people that came in with that shit. We called it the granola opcode.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's for fruits, flakes, and nuts. People just want to come in and bitch about shit all the time, or just want to come in like, I read something on a forum somewhere. Let me bitch about it at my dealer. Like,
I mean, look,
he said,
I don't know what the dealer did. I mean, someone hit it obviously and broke it. What do you, you know? He said they wasn't covered, but they replaced it. Okay,
right.
That's what they're supposed to do. Good for them.
Yeah, it's not a defect if somebody breaks something.
Yeah, I mean, somebody fucked up, but like,
right.
About your A-pillar rattle, like, a Bentley shouldn't have a fucking rattle, and they should fix that, even if it's out of warranty. I mean, if you bring it back over and over and over, that's a problem.
Right.
But I don't, you know.
It's a fastener, man.
I mean, the warranty, first off, if you bring something in repeatedly for an issue, and between the second time of it not being fixed and the third time the warranty expires, your issue began before the warranty expired.
Something tells me you have other conversations with the person at the dealer that maybe some other shit's gone on and... You know, like, because most dealers are going to go bad for you to help you out. If it's some little thing that's going on in your car, or some little thing got cracked, or some little noise that's bugging you, like, most of them, if you're a good service customer, they'd be like, hey, man, I got you.
Yeah, and I mean, you know there's a rattle in the A-pillar, if you can narrow that down to an A-pillar,
yeah, it's hard to pop that stuff off.
Yeah, like, that should be fixable,
Little harness, little wire for the airbag line, something like that, little fastening, there's lots of foam tape in cars.
There's a lot more than you think, even in really expensive cars. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, 13, you're now talking about a five-year-old car.
Right.
And, yeah, there shouldn't be rattles, but, like... Look, my dad's got a fucking Cayenne Turbo. It's like a $150,000 car.
Right.
He goes over bumps, like, things rattle.
Yeah.
Like, they do.
If you get concrete roads or potholes every now and then, shit's going to start breaking up over time.
He's in New York. Imagine 5 years on a GT Speed in New York roads. Like, shit's going to come loose.
Yeah.
Like,
fuck up a car.
So, like, yeah, I think they should have fixed your car. And I think that if you brought it in for the same issue that persists past the end of the warranty period, I think they should cover it.
You've got Goodwill claims for that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a common thing.
But if you're not about your dealer, go to a third-party mechanic. I mean, I advise not going to dealers ever unless you're doing a warranty claim. Thanks, man. Good luck with your expensive-ass cars. Pat says, second-gen Gen Coupe 3.8 versus Nissan 350 or 70Z. It says G Coupe, but he means a Z Coupe. Right.
Or maybe he's talking about like an Infiniti, you know, the G35, you know, G37, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
The same chassis, same, you know, VQ, all those VQ engines.
I'd probably have the Infiniti if that came down to it. I'm not a big Z fan. Z's don't do it for me, really.
I don't enjoy either of those cars. I don't
either.
They're, you know, they sell the hell. Especially when they first hit the marketplace, like mid-2003, 2002s, you know, and that stuff started to hit, everybody was all over those damn cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my biggest gripe with those things is I hate the sound of a VQ engine.
Yeah, I liked it when it was brand new, back 10 years ago.
Because it was unique.
Yeah,
it was cool. It had a good sound to it.
It sounds rough.
And now you hear it and you're like, imagine sitting in a freeway for, you know, like, 5 days a week, 10 miles a day, just that droning sound at 2,800 RPMs.
Yeah.
Like, I would kill everything in sight. You know,
I've driven a couple of Zs that, with the right combination of coilovers, the right alignment, the right brakes, and the right exhaust, were balanced and fun.
Right.
But it really did take
it
took the right combination of shit.
Yeah.
Go dig through my videos and find a 350Z I drove. It was red. Look at the center cards for a red one. That one, whatever that guy did, that one was the least annoying sounding one. You know what was important? A single exhaust conversion.
Yep.
To go from the two to the one, which looks weird, but it made it sound a lot better.
Right. Yeah, some of the VQs I just don't love.
Yeah. Gen Coupe 3.8 second gen is a good car. Not a great car. A good car. Competent car that no one thinks about. But it's all right. It's kind of characterless, but it's all right. It is, you know, it's all right. Willis is back. Get the V12 or buy an LS and be a basic bitch. Is he talking about putting a motor into a car?
Yeah.
He's talking about swapping a motor into a car.
How would you swap that engine, though?
You don't, because it's not just that it's big, it's that it's fucking heavy.
Right.
It's a boat engine.
And there's all sorts of electrical issues you're going to run into with that one. Like, and what it's definitely not a plug-and-play platform at all.
No!
There's a reason why people LS swap the shit out of everything.
Small, light, standalone ECUs.
Simple, right?
Yeah,
like it's so, you know, everybody's like, but everybody does it. You're like, yeah, but if you go take... You know, an E36 or an NB Miata, and you've done that, and you've had one of those things. That's one of the best damn things. You're going to have a blast every time you get in the car. It'll work. That's the other thing too. It'll always start up. It'll always drive.
Yeah,
you're never going to have any crazy little fault codes thrown off on it. It's just going to be a fun little car to beat up on.
I've never driven anything with an LS swap where I was like, "Well, this sucks." Yeah. Ever?
No such thing.
One of the raddest cars I ever drove was an E46 M3 with a fucking LS in it.
Yep.
Drift car, fucking badass, dude. It was hot. and you can make them quiet. Yeah. They don't have to be. They don't have to be barky and loud. You can make them quiet. Put normal mufflers. Reasonable.
Yeah, just get LS. You can get an LS3.
Yeah,
you know, throw it in an NB. Get a T56 if you really want to do something crazy with it. A friend of mine did that in Austin. Put an 8.8 rear in it, and yeah, T56 and an LS3, and it's fast, but it's also reasonable.
Yeah, and by the way, LS swaps are only common on the internet. On your day-to-day life, you're not encountering a dozen LS swapped cars.
I'm at a track in Austin, you know, or in San Marcos, Harris Hill all the time. Yeah. There's tons of Miatas and lots of guys that swap stuff there.
Yeah.
But outside of the track...
Yeah. You don't run into that shit every day. No. And if you did, you'd be like, damn, that's fucking cool.
This is a good town to live in. Where is this? This is Swapville, USA.
Yeah. And MB is Frenchie is back with the last one. What is your favorite V12 car?
Ooh.
Well, the Lamborghini Countach, my friend.
No one goes and buys an 80s V12 car unless you really like it.
There's a lot of good V12. The Ferrari makes a great V12. The 812 and its offspring are great. Yep. Aston's V12 is a boat anchor, but it makes a good sound. Oh man, this guy must be wasted. He's fucking just throwing him out there. I'm killing it. I don't care if you donate after this one. MB is Frenchie. I'm cutting her off. The show is over. You know, I'm a big fan of the Lamborghini V12 for all of Lamborghini's faults, and there are many. That fucking engine. Wait till you hear my Countach.
Man.
It has a period Albertoni exhaust on it with no cats. It's fucking rad.
It's gonna be great.
It's so rowdy. And the last one is, what car is going to replace Hannah's Volvo? I don't know. Whatever car Hannah wants. I don't even fucking go on test drives with my fiance. She'll ask me to help her buy a car. I won't. Because I don't want to exert... I don't want to be like, well, the fucking turn in on this one. I don't give a shit.
Man, I feel you on that. My fiance, like, she puts up with so much of my shit about car stuff. I love her to death. Kristen is a very patient woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, you're marrying a car guy.
Yeah.
Who works in the space, who does all this stuff. And I talk cars all the damn time.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, like, her car was in a wreck recently and it ended up getting fixed.
Is she all right?
Yeah, she's fine with the car. It was just a little rear ending. But, okay. But she was, you know, what do we look at next? How do we do this? And she's, you know, handles her shit pretty well, knows her way around stuff, you know, very capable buyer to go out there in the marketplace and do it. And I was like, I don't want to be a pain in your ass. Like, I don't want to do it, but I'll give you some input here and there. And I was like, I don't want to be that asshole guy. I don't want to be that man. You know,
I do not want to exert any influence. I want her to have whatever the fuck makes her happy. I don't care if it's, I don't care if it's something that I trashed in a review. If it makes her happy, I don't give a fuck. It's not my car.
It's not yours.
I didn't lead her to the Volvos. We were just literally driving around. Then I was like, "What about the Volvos? Like, what?" And she went and looked, and I don't like her Volvo. She has an a V60 R design with the Polestar tune.
Yeah,
she likes it a lot. I don't like it at all. But if she's happy with it, I could give a fuck.
Damn.
Actually, here's her problem.
They're
doing
good ones. Their new cars are good.
It's not the brand new one.
Oh, okay.
It's the end of the old one.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't driven the new one yet, so I would like to drive it. I'm happy to have a go and whatever.
Yeah.
But she likes boxy cars.
Right.
But she doesn't like Wranglers or G-Wagons. Not a lot out there.
Not much left in the box department.
Not much left in the boxy department.
Yeah, everybody's Kermit
new Defender.
You know, I will never tell her what to buy or not buy unless she wants a Defender.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're like, honey, it was really... Man, we were at brunch the other day on Sunday, and there was a 110 that was at the light right in front of us. It was cleaned up. A right-hand drive, you know, really clean. And you see a couple of them around Austin every now and then. But this car, I mean, it was super clean. She looked at it. She goes, ooh. And then she pauses again. She goes, ooh, again. I was like, ooh, what? Second, she goes, yeah, because it's a right-hander. I was just like...
Oh, you want a right-hand drive, huh?
I'm marrying right.
I hate Defenders so much.
They're cool, but man, they're a real pain in the ass to work on, man.
Actually, you know, do they still make the LR4? If that's still in production, or they kill it?
No, I think it's just Discovery.
Because they switch it to Discovery,
again,
right?
Yeah. That last LR4 from a few years ago, though, that was still boxy, still good.
I liked
that
LR4. Yeah. We went up that same trail, the Velar, and with the LR4, it was lovely. That was a good little car.
I still like the shape of a boxy Land Rover product.
I agree with you. I do. I'm excited to see what the new Defender is. I fucking hate the old one so much. It's not. You can't have arms and drive them.
Living in Southern California, you saw them everywhere. We don't get a lot of those in Texas.
The new one has independent rear suspension.
That's bad, right?
That's bad for rock crawling and shit like that.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone... It's good for Nantucket.
But the Defender's supposed to be Land Rover's hardest core.
I know.
You know?
I think they're substituting electronics for a lot of that, right? The smart diff and traction control. Yeah. I think the argument is, how big of a rock do you really need to crawl?
And do you need the articulation to have both wheels down, or if you have the electronics with one tire?
Yeah.
Right, Kennedy.
Do you see, like, when you go to, like, Moab and go to real off-roady places, though, do you see Defenders? I feel like it's all Wranglers and stuff. It's always Jeeps. It's not, people aren't really doing that shit with Defenders. They drive them in fucking Nantucket.
Yeah, old 4Runners and stuff like that. Yeah, but it's not that you can't, it's just that they don't.
Yeah, right. Right, totally. Yeah, in South Africa, I went on safari, and we were in a 2017 Defender with a shitty little diesel and a manual gearbox, and it did the job.
Yeah.
But they also had Land Cruisers. Same thing, just as good. Mm-hmm. Kurt Bradley, what do you want to plug before we get out of here? Anything?
Just me, man. I'm just Jalopnik. Straight, you know, shooting away for Jalopnik. We're doing a ton of good work.
It's Kurt Bradley with a K on Instagram. There you go. Go back. You're on. Is it Kurt Bradley on Twitter also?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Kurt Bradley with a K. Oh, why don't I fucking follow it? Click that. Click follow. Thank you. You got a bunch of stories coming out. That's good for you. You got a busy summer.
I'm driving a ton of shit lately. And
hell yeah.
More to come. It's been a good year.
Awesome.
I'm driving a lot.
Thanks for coming down, dude.
Yeah,
appreciate
glad we
you.
Did this.
Shout out to Jalopnik. What up, Patrick George? We love you. Way to pull up that streaming screen right over there, Timmer.
I'm just showing people the background.
Yeah, make sure they know the little BTS. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. All you need is a microphone, a connection to the internet, and something to say. Leave us an iTunes review if you use iTunes. Help keep us high in the rankings. And that's the fucking show. See y'all later. Goodbye.